Take two.
God, I love that sound.
Happy President's Day, everyone. Now let's all stand as one as we join Chaka Khan in the singing of our national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see?
You're fired.
The twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars.
It just fucking sucks. Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
That was the
that's
end of
where
it.
That's not the way it ended.
That's the way, yeah, Rob, that literally, they cut it off.
Somebody didn't put the whole version on there.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh. My stomach hurts from listening
Give
to
it up to my girl, Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Everybody, Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. That was the highlight of the NBA All-Star game last night.
Damn.
No, I want to congratulate one person. One person saved the NBA All-Star game this year. It wasn't Dwayne Wade. It wasn't LeBron James. It wasn't Giannis. It wasn't Joel Embiid. It wasn't Kawhi Leonard. It was a man named Nick Elam.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Elam, Robin. You know who he is? He's
not
a Ball State professor. Not a basketball guy. Not an NBA honk. Not a guy like that Windhorst guy at ESPN who had to use two jars of Vaseline today to splooge all over the NBA for last night's championship game. He's one of those guys who actually had multiple orgasms as he sat back and wrote a column today about the NBA All-Star game. I've never seen a grown man as excited about basketball as... What's his first name?
But have you seen a grown man naked?
I wouldn't want to see him naked.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
But then again, you know, no, people could say that about me, but I'm not Eric Windhorst. Slovenly. But anyway... Nick Elam is a Ball State University professor who got sick and tired of the NBA endings with the ridiculous timeouts, intentional fouls, back-to-back timeouts where the last 2 minutes would take an eternity to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we got to fix this shit. We got to fix this shit. Adam Silver, meanwhile, was too busy worrying about sucking up to China instead of fixing the All-Star game. And he's sucking up to China, and he's protecting LeBron and all the other guys that were over there, afraid to say anything about the Chinese government, the communist Chinese, but are openly willing to rip our government here in the greatest country on earth.
Our government?
Our government.
You went Boston right there?
I went Boston
government.
Right there.
Our government?
Yeah. They, my fellow Americans? Anyway, so they went with this new rule, and it fixed it. And Kobe Bryant's death, unfortunately... Not unfortunately, everybody was motivated. There were great tributes to Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. Common did a phenomenal job. So there were a lot of great tributes. The actual pregame show of the NBA All-Star game was longer than the Super Bowl pregame
yeah,
show.
It was.
And that's good. That's what you should do. You celebrate one of your greatest players of all time who died tragically. So they did a great job with that. They didn't start the game till like 9 o'clock.
No, it was a long,
which
long
is fine.
Time.
It doesn't matter. It's a Sunday night. It's a holiday today for people who work for the government. You see, we're not mailing it in. We don't get any government subsidies on the show.
I don't work, so.
That's right. But if you did, you'd work for the government, and you'd have the day off, and you'd get paid to not work today.
Yes, I would.
You're not getting paid to not work today.
Correct. Give myself one of those.
Give yourself one of those. Yeah. I call it Brian Windhorst. Have you seen the dude at ESPN?
Brian Windhorst? Yes.
Brian Windhorst.
I've
He's now an NBA expert. A guy who probably couldn't run the length of the floor without collapsing.
Yeah,
kind of guy. Again, nothing personal. I don't even know him.
Well, those who can't teach, you know.
Exactly. So anyway, enough about Brian Windhorst. So Chaka Khan, I love her. And she and Fergie.
Oh, God. I forgot.
Fergie. I don't know
which one
was.
She made me forget about Fergie. She made me forget about how bad Fergie's.
No, people didn't forget about it. Now, let's go to the next tape. This is one of the guys on Twitter did a great job. He's a radio guy. I don't even know him. But I sent you this. He did a side-by-side comparison of. Now, here's the reason why we can mock this. Josh Beard on Twitter, he went through the work last night to do a Fergie versus Chaka Khan national anthem mashup. Now, the thing that makes this painful is that these are two great singers. This isn't like Carl Lewis or what's-her-face,
Roseanne Barr.
Singing the national anthem, because they're not professional singers. So they made a mockery of it because they never should be allowed to sing the national anthem. Chaka Khan is one of the all-time great singers. Fergie was pretty damn good.
But
then you're asking them to go out there and stylize the national anthem.
That's the problem, is that they think that they need to make it something special, just their own, and just sing the damn song.
Just sing it the way it's written. What's the problem here? Like, she's hearing herself in her headset, right? There's no way she cannot tell that doesn't
for
sound
any,
right.
If nobody's ever done it, it is actually so much more difficult to sing in a stadium than you think it is, because there's a delay in the speakers. You're singing, and what you're hearing back over the speakers is not the same thing that you would hear in your ear right next to you.
What's she hearing? Like Whitney Houston coming back through there? Because sound like shit.
Like, there's a serious delay. It would be...
There's no serious delay.
Yes,
no,
there is.
No,
there's
not,
a, there's
not
a delay
last night's game, Robin.
I'm telling
what they have in their headsets, they're wearing earpieces now. So that stuff is out of the window. You don't have to worry
anymore. But there's still a bit. It's still loud. Like, you have to concentrate on what's coming into your headset or your earpieces rather than what you're hearing out over the speakers.
What you're hearing in the earpieces is exactly what you're singing at the moment. You're not hearing it
five seconds
later.
You're right. But
it used to be that way, Robin. It's not that way anymore. So that's not I'm just telling you. Trust me. I'm telling you, that's not the reason why these people can't sing the national anthem.
Oh, no, I think that there's also an additional. There's several things going on. There's the fact that what's coming out over the speakers that's really loud and reverberating, you still can hear it through your earpieces.
Okay.
So you have to concentrate on what's the earpiece only. And then they want to try to make it special and
put their own stamp on it.
I get that.
And there's no music, so they're having a hard time staying on key. It's just bad.
I have a reason not to like Chaka Khan, because I worshiped Chaka Khan.
Really?
I went to a concert once.
Yeah.
I was a big Rufus fan. I love Chaka Khan and Rufus.
Rufus,
because you know I'm a smoothed out to the R&B tip guy. I love the funk. I love all great music. And so I went to see Chaka Khan once at a concert. I think it was here in... I don't remember now if it was L.A. or here in Philly.
It was L.A.
Were you there with me?
No, but you told me the story.
It's a great story. And it's relevant today because Chaka Khan sang the national anthem last night. I'm not just throwing Chaka Khan out there. She looks great, by the way, for 66.
Oh, yeah. She looks fantastic for 66.
Very clean. But anyway,
I digress. Yes, like a toy.
So after the show, you know, they sell albums and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a line... Will you go in, and if you buy an album or you buy a DVD or something or a CD, Chaka Khan was going to sign it for you. And I wanted to have my CD signed. And I paid for the CD, or whatever. I don't even remember what it was. But it wasn't just like, can I get a selfie with you, Chaka? Because it was a long line. And I was probably 20 deep in the line by the time I went there, bought the CD. I probably still have it somewhere. It's a CD. And I bought it. And as I'm waiting in line, Chaka Khan, I'm not making this up, and I'm not hating on her. The announcement is, if you want Chaka Khan to sign it, buy your new CD and then stand in line. I'm in line literally 10 people she signs and decides that's enough.
No.
Yes. And then everybody else in the line, see you later, alligator.
I'd have returned the CD. I would have just took my receipt and returned the CD.
No, because I still love Chaka Khan.
I wouldn't after that.
No.
I'd be like, yo, Khan. Hey, yo, Khan.
So how
sign my CD.
So how long was she there?
I gave her the Wrath of Khan right
that's
after.
That's what I was thinking, Tony. Jesus.
Did she stay up there for 10 minutes?
That's it. 10 minutes. 10
minutes. 10 minutes tops.
I don't know how long it was.
10 minutes.
But how long does it take to sign 10 CDs?
Oh, it depends, man.
Less than 10 minutes.
You know, listen, if I was selling stuff after a show, I'm not Chaka Khan, and I said, hey, if you buy whatever I'm selling, a T-shirt, I'll sign it for you and stand there as long as I need to.
Of course,
because you're spending money on me after you bought tickets to the show. To leave after like 10 people and then leave a whole bunch of people in line, that's just wrong.
That's what good entertainers, like comedians, like Paul Mercurio, we went to go see over the weekend. He gets done his set, and then he goes outside. And he wasn't selling anything, but he was just willing to take pictures and sign anything for anyone who wanted
exactly.
anything. Exactly. That's what you're supposed to
it
do.
It wasn't even pictures. I didn't want to, listen, I didn't say, oh, let's take a picture. I just wanted her to sign my damn CD.
So you got no picture. You got no signature.
I have the CD, and I love Chaka Khan. By the way, I'm not hating on her. I'm just giving you a personal story, because a lot of people do this with
athletes.
That was
a diva move.
Listen, she performed, but if you're going to tell people you're going to stand there and sign their stuff after they buy it, don't bag on it after like 10 people.
Nah, man, that's not, you can't.
And so that's my Chaka Khan story. But I still love her to death. But the national anthem last night, especially what she said, gave proof through.
No, gave.
She didn't say the night. Gave proof.
Night.
Night.
She skipped the.
Not M. Night. M. Night Shyamalan was there selling autographs in the back, getting ready for his next
gave
movie.
Gave proof through night.
Well, he found the opening trailer with her singing the damn national anthem.
Let's
do the mashup. So now this is Chaka Khan and Fergie.
I love mashups too, by the way.
Oh, I do too.
I love mashups.
I like mashed potatoes.
I know.
But
you do,
this guy, what's his name again? I want to give him credit because he posted it on
Josh Beard.
Josh
Who
Beard.
Who the fuck is that?
I don't know. Some radio dude
at
who
does Josh
radio.
Beard Radio.
Okay.
At Josh Beard Radio. So we know he's in radio somewhere.
Let's hear it.
This is the mashup he put together last night. This is all you're going to hear today as far as the NBA All-Star, at least the national anthem. Let's go to the tape.
God, this is so bad.
Everybody now. Everybody.
We're waving the white flag.
Listen now.
Can I please play drops over this?
No.
Please.
Look at the players' faces.
I know they're in agony. Steph Curry's dying laughing.
Now, the Steph Curry, that's with Fergie from last year. Yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel's trying to hold together.
Goodness gracious!
Jesus!
Let's play some basketball!
Let's play some basketball!
What it is what it is.
Hey, you know, who was it that once said this?
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
One more round of applause, everybody, for Chaka Khan and Fergie.
Please uncock your guns. The show is now over.
I mean, it's just painful.
Wow. Oh, Marquise Johnson. Where's the Sandman at the Apollo when you need him, man?
No.
You see the Sandman come out?
AJ in San Antonio, even Roseanne Barr is saying, damn.
But my point is Roseanne Barr and all the other horrific versions, certainly my favorite one was Carl Lewis.
Carl Lewis is the goat.
Remember, because he messes up and he says, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Can
right in the middle
that?
Of that. We got to find that, Robin. Find Carl Lewis. To me, that's the greatest messed up national anthem of all time.
He literally said the word, uh-oh.
Willingboro, New Jersey's own Carl Lewis.
Goat. The absolute goat.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats. I got it right here, Robin.
No,
ready?
I have it. No,
let Robin play it because she can show the video, too.
And this also, I believe, was at a basketball game. It was indoors. I know that.
I tell you, that outfit he's wearing is something else, too, man. It said Ron McDonald was a pimp. that's what he would wear.
So this was the 1993 NBA Finals that he decided to come out. Charlie Steiner,
Charlie
Steiner,
Steiner
on SportsCenter, introducing.
Apparently didn't see the movie.
If his rendition of the Star Spangled Banner prior to the Nets Bulls game last night is any indication, as a public service, we present now only excerpts. Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
So good.
All right, are we all ready?
Let's make noise. Come on.
Here we go. Oh.
Strong start.
Oh, say, can you see? And the Rockets, red, red. I'll make up for it now. For the land of the free.
That was Star's national anthem.
Look at this. It's the one time Derek Coleman hit his face. He should have hit his entire career.
Written by Francis Scott, off key.
Charlie.
Who's that sitting next to Charlie?
I didn't see. Was it Steve Levy?
It may have been. I saw was a headshot.
I missed the
hair. I didn't see the headshot.
See it either. I mean, I wasn't watching it. I remember it when Charlie did
Written
it.
Written by Francis Scott.
I was actually
off-key.
There. Oh, that, you know what that is? That's what's his name? Jack Edwards.
Okay.
Jack Edwards, who went back to Boston and is doing local sports up in Boston. All the Red Sox and all the Boston sports stuff. Jack Edwards.
I forgot about that joke. Francis Scott off key. I forgot about that.
Okay. At the beginning of the show, I'm going to try this and then I'll be able to turn it off for the rest of the show if we have a problem with the other camera. So I'm going to try to do the camera three. And let's see if it has any sound issues.
That was a mistake. It says here on the version that I have, which is some dumb website's version of it, says that it was the 1993 NBA Finals. That was not the finals. I don't know what it was, but his suit game was tight in that.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
tight.
That one?
So, Ron McDonald's a pimp.
Love that orange suit, man. It's coming back.
Penny wants to say hello.
Hi, Penny. Penny's in the house today, ladies and gentlemen. Put your hands together for Penny, who probably could sing the national anthem better than any of these people. And she's a dog.
Penny.
Give me a shot of Penny right now.
She was getting ready to leave. She's walking around. She's going to go hang out with Robin now. She's going to go sit down and hang out with Robin. And my mama.
It's an animal house in here. We got Steven. There's a whole list of R. Kelly. You got Steven Tyler. You got Carl Lewis, of course, and Roseanne. Can we just get – let me play a taste of Roseanne right now, Robin.
Oh,
just a taste.
No,
for just a
we don't have to do this, Tone.
Yeah, just
Roseanne,
a taste.
I still think
this
Roseanne
is July of 1990, ladies
Roseanne,
and gentlemen.
I think, was still the worst, and one of the reasons.
Wait a minute, Robin. This is Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego. Here we go.
It's not on the headphones.
Okay.
That's fine.
Penny just dunked her head.
All right, let me stop it because I have to put the damn thing on the other.
Oh, you have to put the audio codec on?
Because this is really the worst. Because what she did,
it was disrespectful.
It was disrespectful.
You think she just went out there and just did this on purpose?
Oh yeah, no, she did. She said at the last, she'd practiced it both ways. There was an interview with her, and she said at the last minute she decided to do it as a joke.
She got booed.
Yeah, and she realized.
Joel Embiid was so pissed. She got booed, and Joel Embiid sulked right after this.
She said that as soon as she started doing it, she realized that this was a bad idea. It was a last-minute decision, but by then she'd already committed, so she finished.
All right, let's play it. Again, I think we could all agree this is the worst ever celebrity singing of a national anthem.
All right, cool. So then I got something for you.
Again, 1990 Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego. I'm looking for a Padre fan.
That's the best.
Let's go to the tape of 1990.
Wait, before you play it. Jason's 2000, my dad had the displeasure of playing in that game.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know who Jason's 2000 is, but.
Yeah, who's your dad back on the San Diego?
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Jason SC, I'm assuming that's South Carolina. Jason SC 2000.
That's a good assumption.
I don't know.
Or Sports Center. Maybe you worked at sports. Here we go. Play it, Robin. Please bring it up now.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the rain?
Can we turn it off
Stop
now?
Stop the hammering.
Wait, you got to see what happened. Wait, you got to see the ending. You don't remember what happened, do you?
Nobody can see it, Tony, because you're playing it.
Oh, so she's, you hear the booing. You hear the booing, right? Do you hear booing,
it's
Robin?
It's horrible.
And then she grabs her crotch, right?
Yes. And then she spits on the mound. Oh, she does the spitting on the mound and grabbing her crotch. And then Tom Arnold came out and collected a check for $1 million. That was the best part of
that. It's good work out of Tom. By the way, Tony, I got a breaking news here. So Dean over in Dean in Tampa,
yes.
He just tweeted out to the @RealShaka Khan. Hey, can you go on the Tony Bruno show and apologize for stiffing him on an autograph 30 years ago when they were told to buy a shirt or CD, you would sign it, and then you left after only signing 10 items? The show number is 215-462-8669. Show is live 1-3 Monday through Friday. So Dean.
It wasn't 30 years ago. It was when I was in L.A. Roseanne Barr was 30 years ago,
well, whatever.
In 1990.
Maybe Shaka Khan will call. We can get
your facts straight, Dean.
Maybe Shaka Khan will call, and we can get your CD signed for you. That'd be nice.
She doesn't have to sign it for me.
Sure she does.
I'll always love Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan.
You got some Cubans over there, man, and some cigars as well.
Well, yeah, I put them all together. I got the package.
You got the doubles? Because I got to get one of them and take them home.
I'm going to take. Don't worry.
I need one. Just one.
Just relax.
Just relax. Take it easy.
Just
get a
relax.
Heart attack like that.
Love Shaka Khan.
But Tone, let's just say, for all in all, right, with the NBA All-Star Game, what it is, what it was, what it does, last night was probably the most watchable one they had in about 10 years.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, right
I give credit where credit's due.
It was at least watchable.
It took a non-basketball dorky college professor.
Go figure.
To figure out that the NBA way of playing games is a joke, and they didn't fix it. And he's right. What's the biggest complaint? All you got to do in an NBA game is watch the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, basically.
And then, unfortunately, the last 2 minutes, in many cases, takes a half an hour to play. How many? Timeout is another timeout.
Timeout, intentional foul.
Exactly.
Send him to the line, right.
And the thing about this Nick Elam rules that they're using it in this basketball tournament thing, which I didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing called the basketball tournament TBT. Not Throwback Thursday.
Not Throwback Thursday. No.
But they did the same rule. They put it in there. And players who were watching it and a part of it said they liked it because it actually made players play hard, especially in the fourth quarter. So they set target goals, target scores. Guys were playing hard. Unfortunately, though, the one thing that they didn't put in the rules is it shouldn't end on free throws.
No.
And that's what happened last night. Even Siakam, Pascal Siakam, was saying he didn't like the idea that it had to be decided by free throws. It shouldn't. So that's one part they could fix. But the players were playing. Guys were fouling.
Yeah, it was high scoring, but guys were playing.
Yep. They were playing hard. And I'm sure. Is his dad the great Fred Lynn?
Wow.
What? Are you serious right now?
You got to call into the show, buddy.
Tony, you're just going to gloss over Jason SC's
No,
dad?
We're just reading it now because, you know.
How do I know that?
So Fred Lynn is Jason SC2000's dad.
I did not know that.
Wow.
The great Fred Lynn.
Got to get Fred to call in, man. That's awesome. My dad's a great Carmine Curto. He's broke, don't do shit. No, I'm kidding, man. Stonemason out of Northeast Philly.
El Monte High School. Robin knows where that is. She used to sell RVs at El Monte RV.
Did you really, Robin? You well, sold RVs?
I did not sell them.
I love it.
I did not sell them, and El Monte is a chain, so it wasn't in El Monte. It was actually in Northern California.
Not Del Monte.
There's an El Monte RV right
in
El
Monte.
When you probably go buy it.
That's where it started,
right.
But then they franchised, and so they're all over the place. But I didn't sell the RVs. I worked in the rental area, and we catered probably 75% of the rental market is to Germans.
The Germans.
And because they love traveling and they don't like staying
in hotels.
You know
they always make good stuff, those Germans.
And so I would, because I speak German, I would be the one that would go over all the, this is how you hook up
propane.
The shitster. Okay. This is how you hook up the propane. This is how you do
the shitter.
All
the... Was the shitter full when you were there? Did people come in there
when
all the
shitter
time?
Is full, I would show them how they needed to drain it.
Release cabin pressure.
And all the good stuff. And I would reiterate over and over again, don't assume that you can fit under something. And I would make sure that because they were used to measuring in meters. And I would say, if you see something that is so many feet high, you will not fit. And it will take the top off if you try to go underneath it.
Speaking of standard and metric, there was
I got to follow Fred Lynn on Twitter. His site is at 19 Fred Lynn. And, of course, played with a bunch of teams, the Angels, but obviously with the Red Sox, he had most of his success.
Jason says the El Monte Lions.
The El Monte Lions?
Yes.
They let them roam free down there in El Monte?
Hell yeah.
So, Jason, are you still in California, or because you have SC behind that, are you now in South Carolina? Is that what it stands for? Because we're making assumptions here. We have no idea.
Well, he's got to be a SoCal guy because his dad.
Oh, SoCal. That makes sense.
That's what it means. Southern California, yeah, USC. Yeah. His
Hello.
Dad played at USC.
Trojans, baby.
Trojan for life, Bo. So Fred Lynn, that's what it means, Robin.
Swedish Chef says, is Schitzen Fuller German for toilet?
Schitzen Fuller. That's pretty good.
Nein, das Nein. ist nicht reicht.
And you can see it. Fred Lynn is still involved with the Red Sox. He tweeted a couple days ago, I'm feeling the gravitational pull this time of year as he's down in Florida with the Boston Red Sox. Welcome to Florida, the Sunshine State. So he then tweets about he was traded from Boston under different circumstances. Time will tell how this plays out because MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM had tweeted earlier this month, Fred Lynn knows a thing or two about superstar outfielders getting traded from the Red Sox. And so he was commenting on that. So obviously Fred Lynn, great, great player. For those of you who are old enough to remember him playing, he was awesome. Even if you didn't like the Red Sox, you had to love number 19, Freddie Lynn, yo. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Not Ginger Lynn.
Not Ginger Lynn.
She's
no.
a Hall of Famer, too, in her own right, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Every bit of it. Speaking of goats. Speaking of goats.
Meanwhile, as someone once said.
Meanwhile.
And by the way, we got to give a shout-out to our boy.
Who
we went to see on Friday
Paul
night.
Mercurio,
Paul Mercurio. We went
he
to see him at Punchline Philly. Great show. His ability to mingle and bring in people right in the audience and to make them feel comfortable, uncomfortable, but comfortable at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant way of handling crowds.
Luigi was very concerned, though, that he was going to be brought up on stage because the entire first opening of Paul's act is talking to people, bringing them up on stage. And he's not making fun of them.
But I would have felt the need to start like getting some jokes in and stuff like that too. And it was like,
he said,
"Hey, I tell the jokes."
Exactly.
All right? Although after the show, he pulled me aside. He said, "You were very good and you were very funny." I said, "Thank you very much, Paul."
No, he was good. He was really good.
I also bought him a beer before that, but I
want to see his one man show now.
Well, that's what he does in his one man show in New York.
Yeah,
here's the thing. He's going to be
just
in New
brings
York, right?
people up. He doesn't do his normal stand up. He just brings people up. And interacts with them, and it's hilarious stuff.
Yeah, what's it called again? It's something called like Conversations or
the weekend that we go up for the Barrett Summit that weekend mm-hmm. or that week. I think it's the 25th.
Yeah,
or the 27th.
On a Tuesday we're going.
Yeah, I'm getting an Airbnb.
You're not going to get an Airbnb in Midtown Manhattan.
I'm not going to stay in Midtown Manhattan. It's
you got to stay in Midtown Manhattan.
I can get an Airbnb for the night. I want to stay the weekend. I'm going to have my little New York vacation.
His one man show is called Permission to Speak.
Yeah, so exactly. Maybe I'll go check it out.
Which no one ever gets on this show, by the way.
Exactly, nobody gets permission to speak. You just fucking talk and say whatever you want.
But it's so fantastic, and you know one of the things that Paul, he is a comedian. He does oftentimes make it funny, but what he was saying to us afterwards, he says it is the most amazing thing to allow people to speak, and they are unintentionally funny. And he just allows them to kind of go and he coaches them along a little bit. But these stories that people have.
You know why? Because his point is everybody has a story.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You may see somebody as boring. You may see somebody as weird. But then when you start talking to them.
Everyone's got a story.
Everybody's got a story. I think I'm going to write a song about that.
Everyone's got a story?
No, every picture tells a story. Remember that?
Yes.
Speaking of that, you know who's having problems with that particular tagline?
Who?
Is the guy who did that song.
Who did the song?
Who did Every Picture Tells a Story, Robin?
Do you know who it is?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Rod Stewart. He just got in trouble. He got into
Hot Rod.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he just get in a confrontation?
It was with his son.
What did he do?
He
messed his hair up, which is pretty hard to do when you're Rod Stewart.
It hasn't moved since 83. His hair hasn't moved since
I just
the
saw a story about Rod Stewart yesterday, so I don't know what the latest is, but...
Oh, this is
Robin's
what happened.
Like, oh.
We have a Rod Stewart update.
Apparently,
Maggie, I think I'm just getting used to you.
He and his son got in trouble for something a couple weeks ago, but apparently this just hit yesterday.
This is even more breaking
news. Yeah, Rod Stewart appeared to perform a Nazi salute.
Speaking of Germans, wow.
Assault a security guard in a newly released video.
Wow.
Use your common sense.
Yeah.
Rod Stewart says he was only joking. Well, no, he wasn't joking about that. So he was caught on camera, as you mentioned, doing a Nazi salute after telling the Green Brigade to behave themselves after a bit of pyro.
Right. So back in January, he and his son were charged with simple battery after punching a security guard at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach.
Breaker?
Then...
He just wanted to know if he thought he was sexy or not. That's all he wanted to know.
Oh, yeah. This was New Year's Eve. This was...
So I guess this is the same... This is the same incident, and... Video has now come forward, which in that video on New Year's Eve, he apparently is doing a Nazi salute.
And then he punches a security guard right after that.
And then he punches a security guard. So this is all the same incident. No bueno, Rod. No bueno.
As KOP Joe says, I did not see that coming.
Oh!
Not Yahtzee. That's a different
that's
thing.
That's Ken Cage's call line. But
exactly
that's,
right.
I
so
did
Rod
not
Stewart,
see that coming. That's pretty good.
You get it?
I do. I get it. It's clever. Our audience is very clever, Tony.
Yes, they are.
Thank Christ.
The greatest audience ever since the Jackie Gleason audience in Miami, Florida.
Pretty true. That's accurate.
Meanwhile, let's get it back to get away from Rod Stewart. You like the fact I said his son messed up his hair?
Yeah, exactly, man.
The security guard messed up his hair. Then he proceeded to salute him with a Nazi salute and then beat the guy up. You know, Rod Stewart's 75. And
is
he's
he
throwing,
really?
He's throwing down... At New
With
Year's
like
Eve parties? Well, you know, chicks dig him. That's the thing about 75-year-old guys like him and all these other rockers who, you know, dye their hair and tease it up and try to still look like they're
feathering.
Yeah. They still get laid.
Well, yeah, he's doing it in a Ferrari. That's why.
So I guess the one-man show that he does looks like it's only on Wednesdays?
Yes, he doesn't do it every night, Robin.
No, I know, but it's not on the weekend, so we would not be able to go see it this time because of the fact that we are
committed to something else
on Wednesday night. But
I got parties to go to in New York.
I can
always go up and see Paul Mercurio. It's not like New York's a million miles away.
Well, he invited us to go see the Colbert Show with Stephen Colbert.
Hello.
Because Paul is a writer on the show, and he also does warm up. And he
I hate to do it to you this early, Robert.
I know.
But if to do that, we have to go in early, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would have to see it Tuesday night because they're dark on Fridays.
I'm dark every night.
I hear you, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm pale as shit, bro.
Dude. All right. Anyway, let's get it back to. We got so much stuff. The Daytona 500 yesterday.
Vroom vroom, baby.
They post 4:00 this afternoon. They're going to resume racing. Wonder if Donald Trump will fly Air Force One back over the track and then get in the beast and do a couple of laps.
No, I don't think so.
So all this hype. Did you see there was one great picture? Because Air Force One, which is a big airplane, as you know.
Huge.
Was flying over 800 feet over the track yesterday.
That
landing.
Low?
That
wow.
low?
Did you seen some of these pictures?
No.
Again, you don't have to like Trump or hate Trump or whatever it is. The one picture from the side, from the grandstands at Daytona, on the side, it looks like the plane is actually as low as the top of the grandstands. Now, obviously, these pilots who fly Air Force One
are the best pilots in the world.
They're absolutely incredible. Imagine the thrill for those guys to be told, okay, now we're going to do a flyby past the Daytona International Raceway. And you look at the pictures, Robin, there's one from the side as the plane flies over.
800 feet, though? That's like
nothing,
man.
I know, but the one picture is going to win an award. It won't be any, like, liberal awards because they hate Trump no matter what he does. But the plane literally was at the same level as the top of the grandstand at Daytona. There's a video, which Robin will post now if you haven't seen it. I wasn't watching this. I was online working yesterday and doing a lot of
Okay, well, this one doesn't look like it. I mean, it's low.
No, you'll see it come in. And then the one shot that somebody took from inside the grandstand, that's just a compilation. Then all the cars go out on the track and do a lap, and the people are going crazy at home. Oh, my God, they're wasting so much money for this. And all that other crap.
Waste money on everything else. Who cares?
I need to find the photograph.
Apparently George Bush, I mean, by the way, Trump wasn't the first president who went to Daytona. He actually went there a bunch of times when he was a private citizen, when people liked him. Now that he's the president, of course, everybody hates him. But the one picture, I saw people this morning complaining about, oh, that was a picture when Bush was there. I don't care what picture it was.
Exactly.
There's a shot right there.
Is that it? Okay.
I don't know if that's from yesterday or if that's from the
excuse me one second.
Hold on. The George Bush appearance in 2004. But they're going to have to run the race today. By the way, Trump is leading after one lap of the Daytona 500 if you're scoring at home.
So this is the photograph that everybody's talking about, right?
Right. But no, there's one that was actually even closer. It was like from inside the Daytona upper deck. And the plane is at the same level as the fans. There's a lot of pictures, obviously. There's like 200,000 people there taking pictures.
I don't want to subscribe. So this is it right here.
That's one of them. Yeah, but then one of those other fans on the
crazy side.
I mean, that's pretty amazing to see a 747 flying that close to you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
That is pretty crazy.
There were a bunch of...
Okay, can I just add, by the way... So every single time I am looking at anything on Google, there are these advertisements for how to easily clean out earwax. I have not been looking up earwax removal.
That's how they make money, Robin.
I know, but it's just really, really gross. And I apologize to everybody that every time I put something up on the screen that you have to see this.
Now, that one everybody is saying is fake. I don't know if that's fake or whether that's when Bush went. Or Clinton went, or whoever went. I don't really care who went. It's still a great picture. Whether it was yesterday or 2004, the plane flew low past the stadium, past a racetrack. So all these people going crazy about, oh my God, that wasn't the real. I had one guy coming after me about the Beast, the presidential limo,
right?
Which is fortified; it can withstand bombs. I mean, it's not just your basic go out to the dealership and slap a logo on the side of it car. And apparently one of the videos that shows the Secret Service agents going to this special track in Maryland.
Correct.
To learn how to drive it.
Yeah.
Because they're not just going to hire somebody on Craigslist.
I think you have to have a few special skills to be able to drive.
And so there's
the
videos online of the Beast being driven by Secret Service agents.
They run it backwards. Yeah.
It's a test track.
Yeah.
And they have to drive it backwards, forwards. They have to do evasive maneuvers and that kind of stuff. So one of the videos was real. But apparently a guy who does video games based on race cars used the actual presidential video. And it's not Trump's guy. It's not Bush's guy. It's not Obama's guy. It's Secret Service guys who are protecting any president, whoever the president is. But people are so obsessed with politics now. Oh, that wasn't really Trump's plane. That was somebody else's plane. Oh, my, they put the car on the track at Daytona. Jesus Christ.
I wonder how much that plane is worth.
Jesus crimini.
Ridiculous. Just relax, people. You have to be this absolutely deranged 24/7. Jesus. But trust me, I'm not using Snopes. People, check it out on Snopes. Snopes is a joke site. Snopes used to be a legitimate fact-checking site. The Babylon Bee has more credibility than Snopes right now. Snopes is just another left-wing whack job site, like the right-wing whack job sites. Snopes pretends to be. Yeah, because all that video right there is CGI.
Hold on.
All that stuff live on Fox yesterday.
Nobody else can see it.
Everybody saw it, Robin. It's been posted. If you haven't seen this, then you don't really care about anything.
That plane is $5.2 billion with a B, Tony.
Well, it's not just a regular 747.
I know. I understand that, Tony. I'm just saying it's an impressive piece of equipment.
It's ridiculous, man.
Damn.
Ridiculous. That's not a real plane. That was a fake Air Force One. That was CGI'd on
you
there.
You are fake news.
Chris Myers was talking about it. Chris Myers must have some special information because do we have the video of it, the audio? Because Chris Myers, my friend Chris Myers from Fox, he was doing the Daytona 500 pregame show, and he was saying, well, you're not good. And I like Chris. That was stuff that we used to do at ESPN. Now, of course, he's been at Fox for a while. So the plane's flying by, and it turns around Daytona, and then obviously goes to the airport runway and lands, and then the Thunderbirds flew and flew over and did a flyover like they do at every major sporting event.
Tony, isn't Air Force One always escorted by a fighter jet, too?
Absolutely, yes.
It always is, how many planes does it have with it?
I don't know, but I think on that final approach, the fighter jets go
just
away.
Just back off, right.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know it's always escort. It has an escort.
Exactly.
So this is Nate Ryan, who posted these himself from the media booth.
Now, the Russian flag was not on the tailpipe of the plane. That was CGI.
Yeah, exactly. It'd have been nice to have a little cherry bomb exhaust on it.
But no, Chris Myers, when he's describing Air Force One pulling over Daytona, slips a little bit. He says, that's the 46th president of the United States.
Uh-oh.
Does he know something that we don't know? Is he an insider like Nate Silver?
You never know, Tony. This day and age.
He does actually say it's obviously he slipped because Trump's the 45th president of the United States.
Correct.
But he called him the 46th. I pay attention to this stuff.
It's all conspiracy theory, Tony.
It is conspiracy. And the drifting video, beast video, is really the car that they then took permission from the people who run the test track where they do it. And this guy does these videos. And you can see how fake the other ones
are. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's the kind of stuff that people get all upset about. Not talking about the Fox video, talking about the Beast Drift video.
Is that like Tokyo Drift from Fast and the Furious?
Probably the same thing. They just basically get cars and then they... But a lot of them are real cars. Now, this is the one people are calling a fake one from a video.
Right. So it is not the actual presidential car. It is one just like it, and it is used for the Secret Service to take their final test drive. This is what they have to do to
this is the test car.
This is the test car to be able to prove that they are
qualified.
They can run
alongside it.
No. This is they because anybody that's driving a president or vice president or somebody really important has to be able to prove that they know how to do evasive maneuvers in that big car, right? So that
Oh, so there's someone driving this car then. Okay.
So this is not at Daytona. Some people, you know, did this as a joke. This is actually at the test track, and this is a... Isn't it going? Hello?
What kind of car is it? Is it a Cadillac?
No, oh, it's the go. Same car as the Beast, which is it's, big. It used right. to be all Cadillacs. I don't know what they use
That's
now.
That's a Cadillac.
So this is going in reverse.
Damn,
and people are saying that this is not a real video, that this is CGI.
No, it's not. This is an actual video.
Robin, I had a guy yelling at me all day on Twitter yesterday, saying that this is CGI from a drift video where this guy makes videos. If that's CGI, that's a good job.
It is CGI.
But I do know that the presidential Secret Service people who drive those cars have to go through training because you're not just going slow in a parade with those things. You got to be ready in case some shit goes bad or shit goes down.
No, that's CGI'd.
In some places it does. And if it is... All right, you fooled me.
Yeah,
but the fact that there's a suggestion that there isn't an actual plane, that's in some of that it looks CGI.
Yeah,
wait, so if there are people out there that think that there's no facility out there where they do training like this?
No, not at all. There's no none of that stuff.
Are you kidding?
There's no secret places where the government is testing chemical weapons or UFOs or all that other stuff. Now, then there is a guy who does it. There's a guy on Twitter who's on YouTube who's got 1 million subscribers, and he does all these car things. And so I got yelled at yesterday by some video game dude. I told him, hey, go to the other Twitch channel. There's plenty of car CGI stuff. Get a bottle of Vaseline and sit there, and you and Brian Windhorst, you can watch your car videos that are fake, and then Brian Windhorst can... continue to watch the replay of last night's NBA All-Star game.
I only watch
And then you can fap all afternoon, baby.
I only watch fake Air Force One videos, Tony.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that video was fake. But there are that's a Cadillac. That's a straight-up Cadillac right there.
Straight up.
Straight up. It's got 20s on it, too. It does. Look at it. Look at the rims.
All it was missing was the spinning wheels, though. Remember that? What are those people who bought all those spinning rims? Remember a few years ago?
What are they doing now? They're in regret. That's what they are.
I mean, can you hawk those? What do you do when you buy something that's a fad? Like, remember the spinning
you
rims?
You sell them for the metal, I guess.
For what?
You just trade them in.
If nobody's using them anymore.
And then all the people metal them. That's good chrome, man.
Exactly.
It's high-quality chrome right there. I didn't have spinners. I had 18s on my car once, but I didn't have spinners.
I never had spinners.
I couldn't do it, Tony. I couldn't do the spree wells.
matter with you, man? Did you do the – I did the neon a little bit. Now I put neon underneath the floorboards, man.
I had 18s on my 88 Cutlass, homie.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think it was badass driving down the street.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So now you can see this is a fake video.
This is fake.
You can tell fake videos.
Okay. Again, Tony, when you are seeing that on that side, nobody else but you.
I know. I'm just. I'm not saying.
No, we're just talking. We're just talking.
We're talking about watching a fake video. It doesn't mean that the people who aren't watching us don't know that we're talking about a fake video.
Damn it!
So this, as you can see, is a.
Wait a minute! I thought people can't see that, Robin. What are you talking about?
Now they can see it. Now they can see it.
If you see it over there.
Okay,
they can
I see it on both screens at the same time.
Yes, if you see it on both screens at the same time, that means the
audience can see it. There's only one thing better than both screens at the same time.
Chicks at the same time now.
Okay, Robin, sit down and relax. Sit down, calm your tits, as someone once said.
Who said that?
I don't know. I said it once before, but it's women say it to other women.
I will never. I will never tell tits to be calm.
You can tell that this is obviously fake. The other one did not look fake to me. I think.
Yeah, that's a video game, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks very fake because it is very fake. And CGI, they do great shit with CGI. So all these people coming at me.
I'm not even here right now. I'm CGI.
See, now this looks fake to me as well.
Of course it is. Look at it.
You can tell that that other video
was
not
fake. You know who I blame for this? I blame Vin Diesel and all these other douchebags that keep doing these movies.
AJ in San Antonio. Not even the Beast could hold on to its tires parking in South Philly.
Hell no.
No, wait. Not with these.
They're saying that this is the video, and then they just superimposed the other. That I don't think so, because to me, this clearly looks fake. I can tell that this is not
real.
Yeah,
and that car is like splashing everything. It's like when you go to an arcade and you play one of those video driving games, and you go off the track and you crash.
Yeah, it's CGI.
Hold on a second.
You can tell it's
fake. Well, right there, it looks CGI. Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell it's fake.
That backwards one looks CGI,
but
the forward one doesn't.
But to suggest that they're not
okay,
out there
training.
Okay,
no, see, that just
looks
fake right there.
Yeah, it does. There are spots where it does.
That. Okay.
But that's the backwards one. Look at the forward one.
Now you can tell because I just saw like a little hesitation on
There's a beast right there. Little Honda CRX.
Oh, yeah, that shit's real. All
right, whatever.
So is Penn and Teller.
Just remember, if you're going to go drifting on a track, on a closed track somewhere with professional drivers, rent a car because there's some places you won't want to take. A monster truck or the beast.
Where's that?
A rental car? No, it's a whole
joke.
What's the difference between a rental car and a monster truck? There's just some places you aren't going to take a monster truck. You know what I'm saying?
Would you like the insurance? Hell yeah, give me the insurance. Hell yeah, give me the insurance.
Oh, my. Anyway, God bless all the people who watch faked videos and enjoy it. It was a joke. Most people were jokingly posting that video over the weekend. I posted it first when I saw it. There's President Trump getting ready to make his move at Daytona 500, and I posted that video.
He's just drafting. That's all he's doing.
No, it's called drifting.
Drifting.
You got to drift into the curb, and you know, and that's what real professional drivers do, not just on video games.
Oh yeah, all day long.
You got to learn how to drift into that turn. Ridiculous.
I'm all about rubbing.
And by the way, I did call one person's coming after me for referring to Shaka Khan as the C word in our pre-stream. But I refer to guys as the D word too when they take you off.
Someone's coming
after you? Oh, I heard you. You hate Shaka Khan. Oh yeah, I hate Shaka. I have every album at Shaka Khan's ever made, but I really hate her. Give me a break.
I'm not a fan.
Are you serious?
Shaka. I like Shaka.
I don't know.
Are you serious right now?
Give me a little Shaka.
Let me give you a little I feel for her.
Yeah, Shaka, we feel for you.
Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan.
I do feel.
Yeah, give me a little feel.
I've never liked that word, though.
The C word?
Yeah, I can't really say
the C
word.
Remember, we can say cuntus.
We can say cuntus. Cuntus, I think I can do, but I can't say the actual just shortened.
Why?
Because it's
in the Bible.
I don't know. It's not.
Which one? The old one or the new one? Which one?
Old Testament.
What Bible are you
reading? It's in the
reading?
Old Testament. It's in there.
Robert,
yeah.
Can you please bring
I read it.
You're up.
Jesus.
Chaka-con. Here we go.
Yes, this is good stuff. Come on. This is Rufus, baby. Not Rufies.
What up?
Crank that bitch up.
Mikey misses hair plugs. Shaka is a poor man's Diana Ross. Not even close, Diana Ross.
Not even the same type of music.
Give me a little I feel for you, though, man.
Come
That's
on,
Rob.
Crank that some bitch up. I got it all the way up, so to speak. Let me take it in my arm. Let me feel you with my charm, Shaka. Because you know that I'm the one that keep you warm, Shaka. I make it more than just a physical dream. I want to rock, Shaka. Let you make me want to scream.
Beach Babe 1204. I agree with you. The C word is horrible.
I don't use it.
Of course a woman would say that.
I don't use it in regular conversation. I say bish now. I don't even say bish or biatch anymore.
Bish is good. When you get a little, get a toast of panini on the side, a little bish.
Little lobster bish.
Sorry.
We went from bitch, which was a bad word, or the bitch is back. I mean, Elton John had a big hit with the bitch is back. Remember that? That was controversial.
Well, he's a bitch himself, though.
You see, he had problems at a concert over the weekend.
He lost his voice, and this is his farewell tour.
Yeah.
So they might not be able to make that back up, but the whole audience was clapping for him. And
he came
out and apologized. He felt so bad.
He was out there trying to sing, and he was losing his voice, and he started crying on stage when he had to leave.
Yeah, I felt
bad. How amazing
is that? He's a hell of a performer. I felt bad for him.
I don't like the word either, and I don't use it regularly. I use it only as directed and when required. But if a woman stiffs you, like when I was talking about Chaka Khan.
I still don't think.
Joe in Philly makes a good point. The British people use the C word so casually, and Americans are yet offended by it. Why?
I don't think they do.
What's so offensive about it?
What makes
your skin crawl about hearing the word?
Because of the way it's been used. It's the same thing as...
What, calling a guy a prick? Calling a guy a dick? Calling a guy an asshole?
No, I think that the see you next Tuesday word is really the lowest of the low. It's so much worse than any word that I can think of.
We have comedians on TV using that word in reference to women they don't like.
I don't like it. I just don't...
You don't have to like it, Robin.
I can't think of an equivalent word
for men. I do not use it on the air. I rarely use it.
I'm just asking why it's so
offensive. Trying to think of the equivalent word for a man. I don't think I can think of one.
Can we just make one up and can we use that as from now on?
That's
so
the
if
problem.
You call us something, we can say, you know what? You can't call us that because it's the same thing as us calling you a see you next Tuesday.
Here's another great Chaka Khan song. Give me a little taste here, Robin. Did you turn me down again?
Nope.
Here we go. Why is it so? Ain't nobody got time
Ain't
for
nobody
this shit.
Got time for that.
Ain't nobody. Remember this song? Oh, I gotta get my drums ready.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yes, they do.
All right, Tony Bruno, let's get
like
on with the show.
I just like the word "eat" too. I didn't say it on the air. I was talking about Chaka Khan.
It was before
I'm not
the
saying
show.
I love the
show.
Word. I'm just asking about
it. And the same thing I would call a guy who stiffed me if I was a big fan. It's what people call athletes when they take their kids to a game and somebody's signing and then they hate that person for. I don't hate Chaka Khan because she didn't sign. I thought it was a very Sikh type of activity.
You do know like men get called that too, right?
Yes.
Like if an athlete was getting ready to, like Tony just said, like getting ready to sign something and my kid was there with him and, you know, what happened? Did you get his autograph? No, I'm like, God, what a cunt.
No, I would have said dick.
Like,
I call him a dick.
They do say, you say it back and forth. We get called horrible things too. It just so happens that there's one special word for females that sends them up through the freaking ceiling if you call them that.
Robin and I have had this discussion for years and she used to get mad at me and then... She's turning on TV and watching all these women use the word and then finally realized, hey, it's not like using the F word. It's not.
You mean the F word as a gay slur?
It's not a gay slur.
Joe and
calling
Philly.
a woman that word.
I'm trying to ask you what the F word is that you're referring to. The F-U-C-K?
Yes, that word, which is supposed to be the worst word you can use. And people use it routinely around their kids and everything else. Listen, I understand where the line is and what bad words are. I don't purposely use bad words on the show. I don't even say the F word on the show.
You know what,
unless
though,
I'm really pissed off
I think Dean brings up a good point here. He would say that the F word it was Joan Philly that the F word that is a gay slur, not the F-U-C-K, but
is the equivalent of a C word.
To
call a straight man the F word?
Yeah.
We brush it right off because unless you're a complete homophobe. Unless you're a total homophobe. Then you would take offense to it. But every female takes offense to the C word. Why?
Because it's really offensive.
But
it's
what
an
does
outrage.
It mean?
There's no actual textbook.
Do you know what you can say to a man? It's not even words. Do you know what you could do to a man to be the equivalent of the C word? Spit at him. That's probably the equivalent of it. Because you're saying like we're getting, it's like spitting in my face. That's how disgusting that word is.
It is. I mean,
because that's the most, that's the worst you could do. You spit at someone, that's the worst you could do. That's to me, all no holds barred. Gloves are off. Gloves are off. I was working at as a busboy years ago when I was like 15 years old.
Uh-huh.
Long, long time ago. And there was a couple that was sitting in one of the booths. Another guy comes in, like an ex-boyfriend or whatever it was. And he's just laying into her and laying into him. And he's dropping everything or whatever. And I start walking towards it. And as soon as I get maybe within 5 feet of this guy to go grab him and throw him outside, he spits on the guy. I looked at him. He looked at me. I put my hands up and went, do what you got to do. Do what you got. And I let him fight. You can't spit on someone. You can't do it. You spit on someone, the gloves are off. Gloves are off.
Well, you ever see women? Look at the internet. There's women fighting every night outside
hair,
of
spitting,
bars and stuff.
Yelling everything. Now, what about this, though? What about C on
Relax
C crime?
Up. Relax.
Because women call women the C word all the time.
Well,
that doesn't make it okay.
I don't. What would motivate me to call another woman the C word, it would have to be something really bad. Really, really, really bad. I mean, it would be...
Because you know how offensive it is to you.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't just throw it around there. I hold it for something special.
Well, I hear you, Robin. Me too. You know, I don't just give it away anymore.
Speaking of band. Speaking of band.
Band.
Well, I'm going to ban the word. I mean,
all right, what do we got?
People want people canceled. You know what the word now that you cannot use in public? It's worse than the C word.
What's that?
P? Like, please?
Astros.
Yeah, you can't use Astros.
Did you see this story out of the West Coast? Woke Little League parents out in L.A. Yeah. There's a couple of teams out in Fullerton and in the LBC in Long Beach.
I know Fullerton. I dropped a bundle on them over the weekend.
No, not that Fullerton. Not Cal State. Okay. Well, that's the school. What, you bet on a college basketball game, Cal State Fullerton?
Yeah, why not? There's nothing going on late night.
I hate to do it to you, man.
The late night tilt, baby. Cal State Fullerton is where the
I have an award upstairs that's
from
Cal
Fullerton,
State.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a $300 negative deposit. That's what I have.
Well, they're woke out there. Because of the cheating scandal that has affected the Houston Astros.
Can't say Astros.
They will now ban the names. They will change the names of their teams. You know, there's a lot of teams that have Astros, right? It's a popular name. Yeah, it's a popular name. Started with the Astros. Remember, the Houston Astrodome. You know why it was named the Astrodome when they opened that baby?
Why?
Because it's where Houston is, where Mission Control is in Houston.
Astronauts.
You get it?
Astronauts.
Mission Control, Houston, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm. I think that...
And that's why when they came out, the Houston Astros were the Houston Colt 45 as a baseball team. That's where they started as the Houston Colt 45s.
Ah.
So when they built the Astrodome, which was an amazing dome structure back in the day, I mean, that was one of the original
domes. I saw it up live.
Yeah, it's still
cool.
Up there right next to the new stadium. And so they called it the Astrodome, and they changed the name to the Houston Astros. And now you got all the Native American offensive ones, the Redskins, et cetera. But now Astros is offensive. Because now when all little kids who will never hear bad words, never see bad parenting, learn all the good and bad from their parents who don't pay attention to them and yell at the umpires at Little League games because the parents think they know more.
If you call somebody an Astro, that means you're calling somebody a cheater. Is that the idea?
Exactly right.
So you're an Astro. Okay.
About an asshole.
But, I'm surrounded by assholes.
And so, what are
you
they going to change?
Astros.
What would you change if you had a team called the Astros, your little league team? Because the Astros are everywhere.
Yeah.
You go to any little league, there's always going to be an Astros team. There's always going to be a Yankees. There's always going to be a Dodgers.
Go back old school. Call them the Colt 45s, man.
No, you can't do that. That's
yeah,
gun.
Yeah, because then there's guns. That,
then you talk about gun violence. A Colt 45 is a weapon.
Isn't that
of
also
war.
Beer?
Malt liquor, yeah, but that's good shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you had
Billy D. Williams would sign off on that.
He was the smoothest brother in the galaxy, man, drinking Colt 45 malt liquor.
Trevor from the 203 says, just change it a little bit and call them the Expos. Instead of the Astros, the Expos.
Exposing people, I mean, that again conjures up thoughts of people exposing themselves.
Joe in Philly says, the Astros' biggest problem is that every time somebody from the team speaks, they make the cheating situation worse. I agree. Their apology tour was just god.
It keeps going
awful.
On. It's getting worse every day.
DC Conrad in Vegas. Stars. Nothing offensive about Stars.
True.
It's a nice name. The Houston Stars.
But if you sucked, you could be a falling star.
That's true.
You could be a diva if you're a star, though. You call a kid a star too young? You give him that mentality of, I'm a star, bitch.
Mikey, Mrs. Airplay says, so if I call some girl an astro cunt, is that even worse?
Oh, come on,
Luigi,
now, man.
Please stop. It's not funny.
He didn't.
He didn't actually say it.
All right. Well,
It was a cheating
C-U-N-T. A cheating C-U-N-T.
Okay, you can spell it out.
All right, a cheating C-U-N-T. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I can find a reason to ban any name and make it offensive if I want to. I gave it to you, the stars. That sounds innocent, right?
It's innocent. It's very innocent.
Stars. Stars are divas, a lot of them.
Yes.
You want your kid to learn at a young age that they're a star when they really have no talent? When your kid strikes out every time up the bat, you're a star, son. You're a star. No, you're a loser.
All right, here's
you
one.
You can't hit the baseball.
Here's one.
Get off the field.
Here's one. The Comets.
Comets are good. Meteors.
Comets are good.
Comet, not the meteors.
Meteors will destroy your ass. I mean, we're all going to die.
Comets are
good. A meteor is going to take us all out eventually. Maybe not this generation, but that's how the Earth changes.
The Houston Comets.
Or how about the Rockets?
Rockets are dangerous. Robin, Russia has rockets.
Rockets could be used to transport nuclear devices, intercontinental ballistic missiles.
And there already is a Houston Rockets.
How about the Houston PCs?
Now, what about a Mac? How about the Houston Macs?
Yeah, it's true.
Remember those commercials? A Mac? I'm a Mac. I'm a PC. Remember that?
And then there's the whole Linux crowd, so, you know, we don't want to
I was talking politically correct. The Houston PCs.
The Houston Comets are the team, the WNBA team, the Houston Comets.
And so are the Houston Rockets, so they already took those away. Okay, you're right. The Comets, I wouldn't know the WNBA, so I apologize.
I'm dying.
What about the Houston Snickers?
No, that's a cop.
No, because
exactly.
that's a
candy bar.
I know, but they would have to pay the Snickers Mars company to.
What happens if they just laugh a lot? Or the team's mascot is just some guy out there who just.
How about the Houston We're Here? How about that?
How about just the Houstons?
How about the Houston Woke Vegans? Somebody's got to use the name. Did you see? Wait a minute. There's a team that changed their name last week. And now I didn't save that story. It's the coolest nickname, and it's minor league. Baseball has the coolest.
You can do whatever
nicknames.
You want in minor league. It's great.
And I don't remember it now. It was a story from last week. I got to find that one. If somebody can remember it, the Houston Dreams is the strip club, though. You could have that. Not Hakeem the Dream, of course.
No.
Who was in Houston as well, as you well remember.
As a Rocket.
Anyway.
These are the new minor league names and logos for 2020.
Okay, cool.
There was a picture of a little kid wearing the jersey. And I'm trying to remember where it was.
Okay.
It was from last week. And.
This was December 7th. The minor league team changes name to the Sea Unicorns. Is that it?
No, not the Sea
Unicorns.
With the C word or the S word? The Sea Unicorns. No, that's
S-E-A,
not the one I saw.
S-E-A.
I saw it last week and I can't think of it. I'll find it. But, you know, the best names and best nicknames are in minor league baseball.
No doubt about it.
Not the Fredericksburg Nationals. They're part of the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, what's the A up there? Was that the Austin Armadillos or something like that?
No, come on, man.
Okay. So there's the Nationals, the Kannapolis?
No.
K-A-N-N-A?
This is the Amarillo Sod Poodles.
Yes.
Sod Poodles.
The Amarillo, Texas Sod Poodles.
Where the heck is Kannapolis?
I think that probably down near Maryland.
Yeah. The Cannonballers. Sorry, that's awesome. The Wichita Wind Surge.
Wind Surge.
What is a sod poodle?
Danville
sod
Braves.
Poodle,
okay,
man.
Well, the Braves. We have
sod
that.
Poodle, man.
Sod poodles are awesome. The Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. Now, are they
That's
muscles?
Cool.
Are they steroid muscles? Or are they the sea
marinara?
Creature?
Are they marinara?
Are they the white sauce or the red sauce?
I like the white when you put the pinto beans on the side.
I know.
Yeah,
I like
I do that.
That
too.
I like that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's good stuff.
So then we got the.
Winston-Salem
Dash.
Dash.
That's not bad.
That's all right.
It's not bad.
Okay, then we got.
They're not the Houston Poodles. They're the Amarillo Sod
Poodles.
Oh, I
guess those are the new ones.
Those are the new ones, Robin, yeah.
Yeah, so those are the only new ones. But if we're looking up at.
New names and new looks. the
miners. Rebranding.
Oh, Sod Poodles are prairie dogs. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
AJ, thank you. Thank you, AJ.
And you know what? Because, you know, AJ sent me one of these. AJ sent this to me.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got the there's the Sod Poodles already right there, right front and center.
The Houston Trump 45s. Oh, I don't think that's going to go over well.
I don't think not
it's
on president.
Outrage.
Not on not your president's day, by the
Syracuse
way.
Syracuse Mets.
Yeah. The Rocket City Trash Pandas. Nice. I love that.
I need a Rocket City Trash Panda hat.
That is awesome.
I want
the
that.
Trash
that
pandas.
Is, I want a Rocket awesome. City Trash Panda hat.
Trash
that
Pandas?
Is,
yeah, did you see the new names for animals?
No.
You didn't see that?
The Fayetteville Woodpeckers.
That's Fayetteville, Robin.
There's a sod poodle.
There's
there it
sod
is.
Poodle. We love the sod poodles.
Robin, when you get done this, pull up new animal names.
How about this one? The Rocky Mountain Vibes.
I like that.
Bruh.
New animal names. You're going to love this.
But right now we're dealing with minor league teams.
I understand that.
Now go back to that one with the Vibes.
But that's because the reason is because some of the names come from these. Like a porcupine is now called a stab rabbit.
Is it really?
Yes.
So Las Vegas Aviators.
No, go right the run before it. Go down a little. There you go. What is that called?
The Rocky Mountain
Look
Vibes.
Look at that. So it's a dude.
It, you know
what does he have?
You know what that looks like? That looks like a marshmallow.
S'more.
S'more. That looks like
I think
a s'more.
That's the team before it, Robin. Go down. Keep scrolling down.
No, that.
The Nashville Sounds were before it. So what is the Rocky Mountain Vibe supposed to be? It says it right there. See, you're looking at it.
See, it's an offshoot of brainstorming related to the name Happy Campers.
Which is a s'more, because a s'more would
s'more.
Work. That's a s'more. That's exactly what that thing is.
That's a s'more, but they're called the Vibes, which makes no sense. They should have been called
the s'mores.
It's got
a marshmallow on fire, and that's his hair. And then it's got the two
graham crackers.
Graham crackers squeezing it, but the dude seems happy, and he's throwing up a peace sign. So it means he's all smoked up on medicinal and recreational weed in the Rocky Mountain State.
The Fresno Grizzlies?
Yeah. That's it.
I like the Trash Panda.
I do
trash
too.
Pandas.
The raccoon is now a trash panda.
I like the sod poodles. That was my adopted team last year.
Yes.
This year I'm going to go with where's the team now for the trash cans?
Yeah,
the trash pandas.
Trash panda? I want a trash panda hat.
Where is that now?
Or a shirt at least.
I mean the Syracuse Mets. Is that all they can think of in Syracuse? For
Rocket
God's sake?
City Trash Pandas.
The Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now. I want some kind of memorabilia.
Now what city is the Rocket City? That must be Houston, right? What else is the Rocket City?
I don't know.
Well, Huntsville, Alabama is a Rocket City.
They're in Madison, Alabama.
Down there in Alabama
near...
Yeah,
they're the double A affiliate of your Los Angeles, Anaheim adjacent...
Disneyland Angels.
Yeah, Disneyland Angels.
The Savannah what? What was the Savannah one, Robin?
Sand Gnats? So this is a website that I was looking at. The 25 coolest minor league baseball names. This is from 2011, though, so who knows if it's been changed.
Well, a lot of them are defunct now.
Yeah.
The Vermont Lake Monsters, I think they got swallowed up.
Hold on. Let's keep it.
The Fort Wayne Tin Caps? What?
Savannah Sand Gnats.
Why would you call yourself a sand gnat?
I don't know.
They're annoying. You ever see sand gnats?
They're really annoying.
I hate to do it to those people. But I got to give him one of these.
Look at that hat, dude. That hat's pretty awesome.
It's going to be hard to top the side poodles.
There it is, man. That's a pretty badass hat, bro.
That's a pretty badass hat, man. So where's Rocket City's down near Huntsville probably, right?
South in Alabama, uh-huh.
Well, Huntsville, Alabama is also another military installation where they have rockets. They shoot up rockets and shit. You know what I'm saying?
I hate
you. Not the Michigan City Wolverine Testicles. No, that's not a new team. Although it'd be good. Speaking of basketball, well, we're talking baseball. Did you see what's now that the All-Star game is over, we would like to thank the Cleveland Cavnots, not the Cavaliers. They should change their name. The Cleveland Cavaliers should change their name from the Cavaliers, which pretty much describes that franchise, unfortunately, other than the LeBron era and a couple of moments in between. The Cavnots. You know what their record is right now, right? 14-40, the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's only one team worse, and that's the Golden State Warriors because their entire team has been decimated or traded away. So now, before they resume play following this All-Star break, John Beilein, you remember John Beilein? Great college coach, right? Yep. One of the all-time greats. Was at Michigan. He went to he did go to a Final Four a few years ago, remember? So John Beilein, Michigan went to a...
Oh, you're right. Yeah, they did.
And Beilein did a great job. He went to the tournament the last 4 years at Michigan. And then, of course, because he was a hot college coach and an older guy who's been around for a while, he gets some teams looking at, hey, how about bringing John Beilein? And he works with young players. And Cleveland's got a lot of young players because they traded away pretty much every asset And so they thought he would come in and be able to deal with the younger players just out of college. Remember, he was just coaching college up until a year ago.
That's a good theory.
So they bring him in. And now all of a sudden, they want him out. His record in college was 571 wins, 325 losses.
Pretty good.
Which is pretty damn good.
It's like 60%.
And now all of a sudden, he's had some issues there too. So the amazing thing about college coaches going to the NBA, most of them fail. Most of them fail hard.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of them make the transition from college. And so now, obviously...
Well, Brad Stevens is one coach.
Yeah, Brad Stevens.
He's one name in a slew of others that have not been able to
But he also didn't get a bad, really, really bad, bad team to work with. The Florence Yalls?
Is that what you're talking about?
No, that's not... No, it's. There's I don't even know if it's a baseball
There's team. Also the Albuquerque Isotopes.
No, they've been there for a while.
Okay.
But the Florence Yalls...
Yeah, Frontier League team names itself the Florence Yalls.
Yalls.
Like,
Yalls.
See y'all later.
Or in Pittsburgh, they could be the Uses or Yins. No, the Pittsburgh Yins and the South Philly Uses.
South Philly Utes.
You get it?
The New York Utes.
Yeah. And John Beilein, you know, he's been around basketball for a long time. And so he was recruited. He became a hot NBA property. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, you know, the Atlanta Hawks were thinking about him. And so they hire him in Cleveland because of his ability, supposedly, to recruit kids, and he doesn't have to recruit in the NBA. He just has to coach young players.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's far removed from young players. He was just at Michigan a year ago. So they hire him in Cleveland to be the new coach, and we're halfway through the season, and they're already both trying to figure out a way to get out of this relationship.
Yeah, it's not working.
And now you got rumors that Jay Wright is being wooed by the Knicks to leave Villanova.
That's interesting. That's very interesting, Tony, because if you're Jay Wright, again, you got your own ticket written over there in Villanova. You don't have to worry about anything. You're not going anywhere. You're not getting fired.
Exactly.
Right? You've been named the coach of the decade.
You're a Hall of Fame
coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach.
We should get him on.
If he's got to leave.
Well, he doesn't have to leave.
I was going
to
say, if he's got. No, right. Let me rephrase that. If he feels that he's ready to go to the NBA, because that's when he'll be able to go, whenever he decides he wants to go. I mean, the Knicks is kind of hard to pass up, man. That's a hard job to pass up. I mean, all the prestige that goes along with it. And even if things don't go well, he can go right back to NCAA and get his job right back. I would take the Knicks over the Sixers job.
I don't know
about
that.
The prestige in New York, Tony?
There's no prestige to have one of the worst franchises in the NBA.
No.
You know, the amazing thing is the Knicks are still the most valuable franchise in the NBA. Did you realize that?
Yes.
And it's not because of their roster. It's because it's New York. It's Madison Square Garden. It's the biggest city in the country. And interestingly enough, I saw this list last year about all of these different franchises. The top 10 most valuable franchises in the NBA. You know who's not in the top 10 most valuable franchises in the
Sixers.
NBA? The 76ers. Toronto made it in there.
I was going to ask. I mean, let me see if I can take a shot at the top 10.
Knicks number one.
Knicks number
I don't
one.
Have the order because I did
no,
it
no,
last week.
Let me see if I can just get the 10 teams. The Knicks, both LA teams, Clippers, Lakers.
And the Clippers just made it.
Barely. Right?
Not just. I mean, no, because they were sold,
but
and their value is over $2 billion.
Okay. The Houston Rockets.
Yep.
How about the Brooklyn Nets?
Brooklyn Nets are in there. Toronto Raptors, who were,
Raptors
were not in there, now are in there.
Okay.
Even though they lost Kawhi. Remember, it's the only franchise in Canada.
What about...
And it's very valuable.
The Spurs?
No, the Spurs are not.
Okay, all right. Spurs are not. Golden State Warriors?
Yes, the Warriors are in there, and one of the reasons, even
so
though they're bad
this
year.
So all three California teams, okay.
The reason, well, Sacramento.
Sacramento, no.
Sacramento is a California team,
right,
unfortunately.
Right. Sorry about that.
The Sixers are not in, but Sixers are worth around $2 billion. So it's not like they're worthless. Remember, these teams, the Sixers were sold dirt cheap.
Right.
And this group that just bought them a few years ago, just when these guys bought them, they knew they were going to make a lot of money. And it's not just about rosters. Because, you know, the Sixers were terrible a couple years ago. And so when you look at the Knicks, they're terrible right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still the most valuable franchise in the NBA because it's New York, because they play in Madison Square Garden, the world's second most famous arena. The Nets are in there in Brooklyn. The Clippers are in there in the Mavericks and the Heat.
Dallas. Dallas is worth a lot.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the Miami Heat. Even though the Miami Heat, they have a new building and it's really the only franchise. I mean, look at Orlando. All the success, all the great players they've had.
Mm-hmm.
The Shaq and Penny era when they should have, could have, would have Remember, they were supposed to win a championship.
They could never get
it. And then Shaq gets wooed away by the Lakers.
A lot of people are starting to make the comparison. It's Shaq and Penny. Is that Embiid and Simmons? A lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda, and it just never happens.
Well, we don't know. We'll see what happens.
We don't know yet. They got maybe about 2-3 more years left total to get this thing figured out. We'll see what happens. But it's starting to have that feel to it.
Exactly. But the Cavaliers, John Beilein. You know what? I know John Beilein a little bit. I've interviewed him a bunch of times. This is the problem with the NBA, is that the NBA wants these coaches to think that that is the ultimate stage for a coach. And for some coaches, it's not. Some coaches are better being in college. You look at some of the greats. Bobby Knight, right? Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino went to the NBA and he failed miserably.
Couldn't hack it, right.
A bunch of guys have gone to the NBA.
There's one guy who I thought was going to go, and he didn't go. And that's Shaka Smart. Shaka.
No, but he's bouncing around in college.
No, he's not bouncing around anymore. He's been with Alabama. He's turned that program up.
No, but he was what? At Virginia for what? Not Virginia.
VMI.
VMI.
VCU. Excuse me. VCU. He was a Virginia Commonwealth University.
Exactly. And he took
was there
to
for
the
a long
tournament
time.
Every
he made
year.
Them relevant.
Absolutely.
And those were the two popular names. It was Shaka and Brad Stevens. Shaka, Brad Stevens. And then he left VCU for the Alabama coaching job. Now, I don't know if he left anything on the table as far as NBA goes, but Brad Stevens obviously made the jump and a successful one at that. But Shaka didn't make it in there. But I always thought Shaka was one of those coaches, again, young coach, could adapt to the players that are playing, the young guys in the NBA right now, strong message, good guy, locker room guy. I thought Shaka might be
Shaka. Shaka Smart's at Texas.
He's at Texas now. Okay,
yes.
He wasn't
I tell
Alabama.
You, he's bouncing around in
oh,
college.
Oh, I'm sorry. Alabama. What am I thinking? I'm thinking of, God, who's that? Small little point guard for the San Antonio Spurs. Avery Johnson. Yeah, Avery Johnson. That's who I was thinking. Sorry about that.
Tom Izzo is a great college coach. You look around. There's a lot of college coaches that are great college coaches that make more money than they can ever want and don't want to go through the nonsense
of
coaching. They'll make millions of dollars in the NBA, too. But to me, the NBA, the difference is once a kid, even if he's a kid that was in Michigan and he coached John Beilein, coached him, once he gets to the NBA...
Forget it.
So, yeah, the attitudes change.
Because the money.
And yeah, they get a lot of money. And now they don't listen. A lot of them don't listen to their coaches. And, you know, and then Beilein said something stupid to his players in a locker room. So that marriage has been bad since day one. That's a bad marriage. I'm not saying Beilein's the perfect guy. I'm just saying the thought was, come out of college, Hall of Fame career as a college coach, make the next step up. That's why I don't think Jay Wright will coach in the NBA. He's had so many opportunities. He could pick his team.
He should go to Murray State.
No, he shouldn't go
to Murray State, baby. My racers.
Oh, you just put your chair down, didn't you?
Mm-mm. It's been the same.
What's the matter with you?
Swear to God, Robin, why?
So anyway, speaking of...
I didn't move that. I haven't touched anything today.
I got to rip Rob Manfred, too, today. I mean,
speaking
I know...
low hanging fruit.
I know it's not... just. I did a poll. I posted a poll last night when I was sitting down here working.
It's an interesting poll.
Well, it's an interesting poll because it's obvious that there's a slam dunk winner right now. Because of the current situation.
Right.
So I posted, let me just say this first of all. I think all four major sports in this country, baseball, basketball, hockey, and football, have a bad situation now. There's never been a worse time in American sports for commissioners. Because Gary Bettman of the NHL obviously has been held in low regard for decades since he's been the NHL commissioner. But because the NHL doesn't get the love... You know, people. The only people who really go crazy are hockey fans. Whenever he goes to the NHL Stanley Cup Finals,
they boo him.
No matter what city is. So it's not like one city doesn't like Gary Bettman. It's not like all NHL fans are now trained and realize that Gary Bettman's not a great commissioner.
Right.
Then you had Adam Silver, who 5 months ago was on the number one shit list because of how he handled the whole China thing. That he basically... allowed LeBron and all these other guys to go over to China, diss the United States, and then basically side with the Chinese government because of their love for Nike.
Yeah, that was pretty weak.
And they all copped out, and Adam Silver copped out too. So Adam Silver, by the way, doesn't get a pass as a great commissioner.
No, he doesn't.
Right now he's the best of the four because we know that Roger Goodell in the NFL has his problems with discipline and how to deal with things in his league and how to determine which guy should get what punishment for which crime. I mean, there's just no rhyme or reason with Roger Goodell. And obviously, he's another guy who's just, he's a puppet for the owners.
Yes.
100%. I mean, the owners pull his strings. He works for the owners. He doesn't work for the players.
100%.
So Roger Goodell has his issues. But there's no doubt that a guy who has really catapulted himself to the number one spot on Casey's top 10 and top four right now has to be Rob Manfred. Remember, the last couple of years, only people who follow baseball closely even knew that Rob Manfred was the commissioner of baseball.
Can we throw Luck from the XFL in there soon?
No, and Oliver Luck's doing a good job.
He's doing a good job, Tony. So far, so good. 2 weeks, so far, so good.
Yeah, no, he can't put him in there. I mean, look at soccer. What's going on with soccer? You got
it's the most corrupt organization on the
planet.
You
got a team now banned for 2 years, and nobody wants to ban the Houston. Nobody wants to take the stupid Houston Astros championship trophy. This is where Rob Manfred, every time he speaks, this is a smart man.
Yeah.
This isn't some dope that they throw up at a podium. Rob Manfred yesterday keeps making baseball embarrassing every day. Forget about making America great again. He's making baseball embarrassing every day.
It's pretty bad.
The last thing he said yesterday was, well, what are we going to do? Take away a metal trophy, a piece of metal. Because there are people saying to him, you know what? Why don't you just strip the Houston Astros of their Champions World Series, right? He says, what's going to happen if we just take away a piece of metal? What he refers to the baseball trophy. It is a piece of metal, but it's not a piece of metal. It's a symbol of championship that they won by cheating. And again, I'm not a moral cop here.
But if it's just a piece of metal, then what's the big deal?
That's my point. So why would you even use that terminology to describe a championship?
Because he's an idiot.
That some people think should be stripped away. They're not going to strip away the piece of metal. You saw what happened today in Anaheim, or actually in Arizona, where the Angels are training at their training camp. Who's the best player in baseball?
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout was asked about the Astros thing today, and he pulled no punches. And Trout's one of those guys. He's not one of those woke, you know, I'm going to make comments every week on everything in politics and everything in sports. He was just asked a question. And he said, I think the ring should be taken away from the Astros players involved.
Agreed.
And I think their championship should be taken
away.
Yeah.
And that's what he said.
Simple as that.
And he's not one of those slam-the-table guys, I want this, that, or the other.
No, he's not doing the Cody Bellinger thing.
Exactly. So to me, Rob Manfred could make this a lot easier for himself and the sport as they're getting ready to start another season.
Now, I have a question.
By not being a pussy. Now, that's a word we can use, right,
yes,
Robin?
That's fine.
We could call Rob Manfred a pussy?
Now, I have a question.
What's the difference between a pussy and that other word?
A lot of difference.
There's no difference.
Yes,
it's
sir.
The same thing.
One you want to get into, the other one you'll never get if you use the word, okay?
So now here's a question.
That's a good answer
The taking away the rings and the championship, does the players union, do they have anything? Can they have any say over that at all?
Yes. Why it's not happening.
I said
it
last week on this show.
I know that financially, like, finding them, the players union would have a big say over that. But taking away their championship or their rings, would that also be as much of a say for the players union?
Of course, the players. I said this last week on this show. I said, the one thing about baseball and football and all these other sports, they all have a union. When you think of unions, you think about the guy who's not making $15 an hour working in the same shop where the guy's making $25 an hour.
Not that kind of union.
Those unions are important to protect all workers' rights. But when you're in baseball and you're making $30 million a year, you don't really need your union to make sure that your salary is commensurate with the other guys, because it doesn't have to be. The best players get the most money. That's how it works in the real – when a player is a more important player than a guy who sits on the bench. But the players' union will fight for them no matter what. Even as wrong, they're like the criminal defense attorney
who has to take
a absolute, no doubt about it, mass murderer who was caught red-handed and still defend his rights and claim that he's innocent until proven guilty.
That's the part that sucks, Robin, is that no matter how guilty the Houston Astros are, the union is going to stand up and fight for them no matter what.
Yeah.
And they have no choice. They have to do it.
Well, I understand, but there are certain things that I don't think it. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean morally, it's.
I understand
fucked,
them fighting for financial stuff, but as far as the championship and the rings, the union should not have a say whether that can or cannot be taken away from them, because this is about MLB as a whole, not about the individual players in that particular. They're not fighting for the individual players' finances.
This has nothing to do with money.
What happened
This has nothing to do with
what
money.
The Houston Astros did was the worst thing that's ever happened in professional sports. It's worse than Pete Rose betting on baseball. It's worse than the steroid era. It's the worst thing that's ever – I'm not saying sports. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to Major League Baseball in history. It's worse than the Black Sox scandal. It's number one because they were literally getting the pitches.
No, I know, but it's the worst thing that has come out. And I think that that's the problem is that the thought is that there are people – in the organization that realized that this, they were not the only ones that did this. It's they're the only ones that got caught. And that's the problem, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst thing. You're right. It's the worst thing that's come out.
But this is simple. This is a simple fix. Rob Manfred's not going to survive this. Let me just tell you that right
now. He's got to resign, don't you think?
Absolutely. Because what he's done is he now has put himself into a corner as a commissioner that not many people know. But every time he speaks, he's acting like a guy who has no idea what's going on. He doesn't know anything about the players. The only way you fix this, and I have nothing against the Houston Astros, the players, anybody, banging on trash cans. I know the argument, well, everybody cheats, they got caught. But here's the problem. When you cheat and you get caught, you must pay a penalty.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
When Pete Carroll was at USC turning his head to Reggie Bush's family being put up in a beautiful mansion up in down in Orange County, and Reggie Bush driving around in a super sports car when you're not supposed to pay the players, and then Pete Carroll has the audacity to say, well, I don't know what's going on with my players when Reggie Bush is pulling into the USC training facility at
brand new Hummer.
Yeah, not a Hummer. He's like a Ferrari, for God's sake. He wasn't pulling in a Dodge Dart. So when the player, when the coach... And guess what Pete Carroll got as a result? He got to go and coach the Seattle Seahawks. And they took a Heisman Trophy away from Reggie Bush. They took national championships away from USC. They took bowl game wins away from USC. And they took away the national championships. And so that's how you send a message. And they took away scholarships, which hurt the team's ability to go out and recruit players for a couple of years.
And they
punished the organization that was involved in the scandal.
And they weren't stealing signs. They were just paying players.
Exactly, which is against the rules.
And Dean, I love him. I love him. Dean, I love you. But you're telling me about selective morality, about everybody cheats and they just the ones that get caught. What they did as far as stealing signs was they took stealing signs and put steroids into it.
Yep.
There's indication that a lot of teams were doing the exact same thing.
But they didn't win the World Series.
They didn't win. I know. But they could have.
The Yankees could have won it. The Red Sox could have won it.
Yeah.
Those are the teams that are most pissed off.
The point here is that because this is... because it's illegal, they're not allowed to do it, somebody has to be made... What they're saying
in Houston is that they already held the manager accountable.
Yeah.
The Red Sox manager got fired. The Astros manager got fired. Their general manager got fired.
Yeah, Alex Cora got fired right away.
And they should have been fired. Mm-hmm. But now when the players are saying, well, you know, we didn't really know. That's bullshit. Of course they did.
Me
that other teams do it. If other teams get caught, they should be punished too. You have to have rules. It's why we have criminals running through the streets and going into stores and stealing shit and running out because they know you can't get in trouble if you steal anything that's under $950. You're basically telling criminals, here's the game plan. We're not going to arrest you. We're going to let you out on bail. If you're in jail, we're going to release you. And then you're going to go out and commit another crime. And then we're going to release you again. And then you're going to go out and commit another crime.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Exactly.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules?
No, seriously. I am. That was me last week right on the show.
Yeah, unfortunately, look, Robin, you're right. Not the only team to ever do it. Not the only team that was doing it like this. But unfortunately, they were the ones who got caught, and they got caught on the biggest possible stage. And now they're trying to do everything. Like, again, Altuve saying, Correa was saying about Altuve, it's a bad, it was a tattoo that wasn't finished yet on his collarbone. That's why he's thinking about that as he's rounding the bases during the World Series. Like, don't rip my shirt off because of that. Yeah. No, it's because there's a goddamn microphone underneath your shirt.
Stop making really bad excuses, people.
I know Reggie Bush voluntarily. Of course, he wasn't arrested. He didn't commit a crime. But Reggie Bush had to give up his Heisman.
He said, you know what? Whatever. I wasn't supposed to do this. I took money. I did what I did. Here. You want this back? Is this what's going to make it okay? Take it back.
And here's
Joe
the thing.
Joe in Philly says, you want a fitting punishment for Houston? Don't take away the trophy. We can't pretend they didn't win. Make them ineligible for the playoffs for 3 years and make them default 30th pick in the draft for 3 years.
But again, this goes back on what Tony was saying before. And I'm with this because I'm all about taking away postseason rights. Then you punish all the fans. Then you're
exactly.
Then you're punishing the entire
right. And then you shouldn't do that.
And that means that no one's going to go through the turnstiles.
Right.
I mean, a guy gets caught with performance-enhancing drugs. There's levels of punishment. First offense is 30 days, whatever it is, then 50,
and
80.
And then you're out of the league.
And then you're out of the first season. So you have to have a system of punishment that's
right.
predetermined
I agree.
On the crime.
I agree.
Baseball player. Remember, the Black Sox scandal back in the day. Those guys cheated. They got stripped of everything. They were banned from baseball. Nowadays,
yep.
You know, nowadays there are people getting thrown out of the league. Minor leaguers are testing positive for dope, and then they get suspended, and then they eventually come back. So if you don't have a system of laws when it comes to cheating where your team won a championship, look what just happened in Europe. They just banned a team for 2 seasons. A soccer team banned for 2 seasons, not allowed to. Not even allowed to play games.
Here's what I
think that what you were saying is that any of these suggestions where it would end up punishing the fans,
mm-hmm.
you can't do. You can't punish the fans. It needs to be something immediate where the people that were involved are affected. So the people that got fired, they were fired. Now the players, that's a different problem because they're under contract. They're on different teams, as you mentioned several times. So there has to be something that the players that were involved get punished without punishing the fans.
Okay.
I'll give you the story right here. This just happened last week. Manchester City, right? Major, major soccer club.
Manchester City is a huge, huge, big
right?
time, Tony.
Manchester City is now a tainted champion. This story just happened last week. They were transformed. Remember, they were the little sister of the poor. Manchester United was the big team, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Man City was a team that never was winning, and they sucked. And then they got a lot of support. And then the Emirates from Abu Dhabi was the guy who pumped
right.
money into them.
Money.
And now, the UEFA Champions League showed there was a price to pay for misleading the government body of European soccer. If you don't play by the rules, you don't get to play in the Champions League. For two seasons in Manchester City's case, it doesn't matter whether the coach is the coach of the year or some of the world's most expensive players are on your team. The team is banished, a wealthy, powerful club, from its elite competition. That's a test of resolve. That's the mm-hmm. way you punish an organization. You tell these sons of bitches, you're not going to get to play soccer in our league. For 2 years.
Wow.
Not 2 weeks, not 2 months, not 2 games.
Those players are affected. Everyone's
exactly.
affected.
Exactly.
They've ruled
yeah,
with an iron
fist.
Yeah, except
that's the team. So what happens if one of the players that was involved is on a different team now? See, there you run into those issues.
They might exclude him from being able to play. They uh-huh. would say that that player cannot play. He's not eligible to play.
I think financially is the only way that you can have it be done to an injury. The team needs
okay.
to hurt financially.
You want to say it never happened?
Then the Sheik finally hit the fan before the Manchester City. Let me just tell you that right now.
The Sheik finally hit the fan. I know we're just saying crazy stuff to take away the salary for the year. All I know is right now is that somewhere Pete Rose, Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa are all sitting around going, just put us in the Hall of Fame then.
Yeah.
You might as well just put us in the Hall of Fame
I
then.
I totally
agree. You might as well, if they let this stand, please open the doors and put those guys rightfully in Cooperstown immediately where they belong. You agree, Tony?
Immediately.
Yeah. Now, of course, there are people saying, well, they've only been banned from the Champions League. They can still play in the other leagues that they play in, the FA Cup and the...
Who cares about that? The Champions League is where it's at for them.
Exactly.
That's their biggest draw. It's their biggest deal. It's what they play for.
So the players won't be out of work for 2 years is my point.
Right.
And the team won't be disbanded for 2 years. They're just not allowed to play in the Champions League.
Which, by the way, is a huge flipping deal over there in Europe.
Exactly.
It's huge. It's the biggest cup they have.
It's huge.
Next to the Euro Cup.
So it says the loss of Champions League television and prize money alone, almost 100 million euros last season, will prove costly to the city's domestic mission to provide a greater challenge to Liverpool next season. So this isn't just about, you know, well, they're going to get to play in other leagues, and they get to play, you know, for the FA Cup and all the other crap. This is destroying a local economy.
And Dean, you're right too, by the way. That's in the I misspoke. It's in the EPL. So yeah, I'm sorry. You just made a correction. So
it's okay.
Yeah, I know. I was just, you know, you want to correct the mistakes. That's all. We're fact.
But just because you got a rich sheikh, Arab sheikh, to throw a lot of money at you, and then your organization cheats, doesn't mean that you can buy your way out of a scandal.
Correct.
You shouldn't be able to buy your way out of a cheating scandal.
No, something has to happen. You can't allow it. And then the best part is that Manfred goes out and says that anyone who throws at a Houston Astros player will be penalized financially. So not only are you not doing anything to the guys who cheated, but if anyone wants to sit there again, baseball polices itself. If anyone deliberately throws at a Houston Astro, you're gonna fine them. You can't do that.
That the deliberately throwing at somebody should be banned no matter what. It doesn't matter
because
somebody can seriously get hurt.
Here's the thing: you should
That's
say
just.
I agree with you, Robin. I think it's stupid, but it should say that if anyone throws at anyone, you should be penalized.
Exactly.
But no, it's if anyone throws at a Houston Astro, they're penalized.
No,
where
it should
my dog
be across
go?
The
well, he put himself in a really bad spot.
Yes, he did.
Because that is one of the unwritten rules of baseball. My number one pet peeve of baseball, when we talk about unwritten rules, it's the one that got me in trouble on Twitter because I hate it, regardless of the team involved or the players involved, is the gutless managers of major league teams basically tell their pitchers when to throw at a guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pitchers don't decide, hey, yeah, my guy got plunked last inning. The manager tells him, the pitching coach,
go out there and pull him
you got to go out and knock him down next time. Not throw at his head, not hurt him. And so this is where Rob Manfred has pretty much sealed his fate as the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He will now not survive this because he's referring to the baseball championship trophy as a piece of metal. And he's referring to the situation where you have players who are not being held accountable for their actions and guys making excuses for these players. When you hear players on other teams saying, you know what, they should be held accountable, it's unfortunate. The franchise has to be held accountable.
Well, something needs to be done. It needs to be done immediately because the more time that passes, the worse it looks. And this guy, there's no way he can keep his job.
No, he's done. He has pretty much cemented his – there's no way Rob Manfred makes it to opening day. And again, I have no personal animosity. I don't even know the guy. I'm looking at this from a – you're a leader of a league or a sports team. And you have to come out and get people to believe that you really matter and that what you're saying is important. When you refer to the trophy as a piece of metal and taking it away does nothing, that means you have no idea of what you're doing.
You know, there's a lot of teams out there that are fighting every day for that piece of metal. That's what all these people show up for in the stands, to watch their team hoist that piece of metal.
Now, Tony, I get that the Players Union, the Players Association would fight for...
But they can't prevent the commissioner from taking away a championship. They can't prevent that. There's no way the Players Union...
That was my question.
No, they can't.
Okay.
The Players Association, once the commissioner is the poobah, he's the grand authority.
So he's like...
He says, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do as the commissioner of my league. Because I don't want this to become a long, it's never-ending story. This story should have been put to bed early. I love that movie, by the way.
Oh.
What, never-ending story?
No, Cujo says, "Can the players you think the players would strike the entire season until something is done?
No,
no,
because they want to get paid. These guys are signing $30 million a year contracts. You think Zach Wheeler now cares? He's pitching for the Phillies
because all these players that are speaking up about saying something should be done, but yet no one's doing anything about it. So isn't that kind of?
Well, I think they realize that something should be done, but then on behind the scenes, they also don't want too much to be looked into because of the fact that there's a really good likelihood that more teams have been doing this for years and years and years.
Yeah, the players are not going to unify and strike because one team got caught cheating.
Okay.
Because what happens if one of those guys who's actually on strike is then linked to another cheating scandal?
There's cheating and there's really cheating. Like, they were really, really cheating.
The players can sue the... Here's what they do.
Then the players shouldn't be asked. It doesn't matter what the players think then, because if the players aren't going to stand in solidarity to fix the problem, then
they
what's
are.
The point of asking
you got
them?
You got top players. You got Mike Trout today said that they should have their rings taken away and their championship taken away.
Right, but he's not doing anything about it.
What can he do? He's a player.
He can't do anything.
That means he's not going to go out in solidarity of these guys.
No, but the players can sit there and go, you know what? We're not taking the field until something's done.
Yeah, that's not.
They're not
going
to do that. Why would they do that?
That means you. It shows if you really care about it. If you're
that's
not
bullshit.
About
they're not going to do that. They're all in the same boat.
Yeah, there'd be no way because then they're punishing all of the fans for something that the.
Well, that's how you get Manfred fired.
Manfred should resign because he's incompetent. He has already proven that he's incompetent. He's a rudderless captain. He's a captain of a ship that doesn't have a rudder. He has no idea what he's doing. Every time he talks, he proves it furthermore. And again, not a personal thing. I don't know him. I mean, remember, Roger Goodell, people were ripping him. He was making decisions on players' conduct and whether who should be suspended and who shouldn't be suspended and what was a crime and what was not a crime. He was not using the legal system where guys were in trouble for domestic abuse. Guys were caught on video doing crazy stuff involving women. He was the one who made the decisions before due process in the court of law. That's the problem a commissioner has. If one of your athletes who works for you is going to jail because he committed, allegedly, has been indicted for a crime, a real crime, not a crime in your sport where you're stealing signs, a crime in the world of judicial process, and then you step in and say before the courts have a way to deal with somebody who's facing criminal charges, that you make a decision on that player before or afterwards, that's where a commissioner's skating on thin ice. Because a commissioner can't say, well, you know, that guy may be going to prison for a long time, but I still want him to play in the league until that happens. Remember, when Michael Vick got accused, he was banished from the league immediately. And then he did his crime. People were saying there's no way Michael Vick did it. And then when the evidence came out, Michael Vick went to prison, came back, and got a chance to play again. So there's two different rules. There's the rules of the sport or the organization you work for, and then there's the rules of law, which is what involve you going to jail for a crime as opposed to having a ring taken away from
right,
you.
Right, or a stupid piece of metal.
Exactly, stupid piece of metal. So that's the interesting thing. And Goodell crossed the line when he didn't know what to do with players who are in legal trouble when it comes to whether they should be allowed to play in the league while fighting charges of criminal misconduct.
Right, whether under the microscope of the judicial system.
You know, in the baseball, Cujo points out, baseball came together. They made the whole steroid era. They were both complicit. The owners and the players were both complicit. Both the owners were making a lot of money when guys were juicing up because people were filling up the seats again. And the players were risking their own long-term health by juicing up to make a lot of money and to hit a lot of home runs and to get paid ridiculous amounts of money.
But again, no one else will say this. No one else will really come out and say it. But let's be honest. It saved baseball.
It did.
Steroids saved baseball.
But
they did.
But here's the point I'm trying to make here.
Go ahead.
Is that they were both. This was.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm not going.
This was collusion.
You. Right.
The players didn't care about taking the steroids because they were making more money.
Sure.
The owners didn't care about the players taking steroids because they were filling the seats again
and making more money.
Exactly. So both teams benefited from the steroid era. Both sides benefited from the steroid era. Then after all the Barry Bonds, a Hall of Fame, when these guys who were real Hall of Famers were being kept out of the Hall of Fame, and guys who had never hit 50 home runs ever and hit 50 home runs in 1 year. Were realized that they were doing it because they were juiced, the players and the management came together and said, let's start punishing people for this. They had to agree to it. Guys were lives were being ruined. Guys were making a lot of money and then couldn't walk 5 years later.
Well, what about that guy who comes up as a relief pitcher? I forget his name, but they mentioned him. He goes out there in one-third of an inning. He came up from the minor leagues. And in a third of an inning, he got absolutely shelled by the Astros. I mean, they ripped him to pieces. Got sent down, never came back up. He's suing the league. He's suing Major League Baseball for ruining his career.
Yeah, but you know what? He has every right to do it. That law, he's not going anywhere with that lawsuit.
All right, so let me.
That's not the point. The point is the commissioner has to be the guy who makes the rules, and they have to agree to it legally. Remember, the commissioner is the boss, but there are also rules in play with the Major League Baseball Players Association. So they have to agree to rules. But when it comes to this thing, there are no rules. You cheat, you're wrong. There's no rule that says you're allowed to cheat, and we're going to let you slide this time. So my point is, he is putting his own neck on the noose here, and he is tightening the noose every single time that he speaks about this debacle. Let's go to the phones.
Let's go to...
Hey, Tony, how's it going? AJ in San Antonio.
What's going on down there, man? You ready for another season of sod poodle baseball?
We got Don Poodle action coming up in 2 months, Tony. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Beautiful, man. What about the those other great minor league teams we're talking about? If you're going to go down to Huntsville, Alabama, and watch the what do they call the
Trash Pandas, baby?
No, not the Trash Pandas. The Yalls.
That's not the Alabama team.
We got a triple A
team down here. We got a triple A team down here. I think they're a Milwaukee Brewer affiliate. They're doing pretty good.
What team is that?
Hey, they've still kept the team. We've had a team called the Missions for about, since 1888. But seems like every 5 or so years they change affiliations. For the longest time, they were the Dodgers.
And then
we had everybody come through here. Fernando Valenzuela, you name Oral Hershiser, all the greats. But I was caught. I'm in total agreement with this. Baseball has just really turned this whole investigation into a clusterfuck.
Absolutely.
Pardon my French, but
just don't say the C word. You can use all the other words.
See you next Tuesday. Right.
Exactly.
This whole thing where there's not a rule in baseball. Every big rule about cheating is in the rule book because somebody did it for the first time and it wasn't in the rule book. Gambling. Long before the Black Sox thing, gambling was a problem 50 years before. Somebody did it.
Yep.
It caused the problem. They put it in the rule book. So to think that because this isn't a rule in the rule book and you can't penalize the Astros is crazy. Now it's going to be a rule. Now it's going to be a rule in the rule book, and maybe they got to do some more investigations. And if 20 other teams are doing it, take away their draft picks too. But there's got to be a stiffer penalty than this. I don't have a problem with taking away their piece of metal, as Manfred said, which is a joke. We're talking about something a lot more serious, and he seems to be trivializing this.
Yeah, we're talking about the integrity of your sport. And again, I know a lot of teams
exactly.
cheat, but the level of cheating, as Luigi pointed out, when you go to the point of having surveillance cameras, which are everywhere, and having monitors in the dugout, and having guys banging on trash cans is about as primitive as you can get.
Right.
But guys wearing buzzers, anybody who thinks that those guys weren't wearing buzzers is just an idiot.
Yeah. But you're old enough to remember, Tony. Remember the quiz show scandal back in the 50s?
Absolutely.
They made a movie about that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, a quiz show. It was a Robert Redford.
Really good movie.
Great film. And they were given the questions, the answers ahead of time, and it got made public, not because somebody from, some government office brought it to light, is because it bothered people, and it was bordering on consumer fraud. And that's where you really got to tread lightly, does this become some sort of quiz show scandal? I don't think it'll ever get that way, but the way that they're just kind of lollygagging and taking this thing like a piece of tin and not really worried about the integrity of your sport, I think it's crazy.
And you know what happens? I agree with you, and here's what happens. Once we know, for example, cell phones, everybody loved them, and then people figured out a way to hack them, whether your emails,
jailbreak.
People figure out a way to hack it. Baseball finally started embracing technology with the strike zone box and, replays and all the other stuff. So once they started embracing technology, we had cameras everywhere, the center field camera, you had monitors in the dugout. Guess what people do? They figure out ways to try to hack the system and use the system to benefit them when it comes to cheating. It's like going cards.
Absolutely.
Remember, it used to be card counters, and then the casinos realized who was counting cards. Remember those kids from up in Boston?
Yeah.
They did the whole
up
thing.
Or in MIT.
At MIT. That's where Boston is.
Yeah.
They were figuring out how to count cards, and they went out and swindled millions of dollars.
They made a movie about that too, called 21.
Exactly right. So anytime there's technology, there's going to be somebody trying to find a way to beat it. And that's what the Astros and these other teams were doing. Except for the stupid trash can part. That was the easiest thing
to
detect.
Well, you need a beat, right? I mean, you got to have some rhythm to it.
Yeah, it's got to start. And, once this thing goes by, somebody's going to cheat again when the dust settles, and it's going to have to be another rule, no matter what they use. It won't be monitors and TV cameras. It'll be something else.
So are umpires going to be checking uniforms before the start of each game now, patting you down, make sure you're not wearing
them? Patting them down, yeah.
Like
Leslie Nielsen and Nathan Gunn.
Only if he's going to bring out the little dustbuster and clean off home
plate. You got to go Enrico Palazzo style, man, and you got to pat everybody down.
Yeah, and Enrico Palazzo sang the national anthem better than at the All-Star game, I'll tell you that.
Yes, he did.
Can we get the Enrico Palazzo's anthem, please? Can we play it?
And the last thing I'll say before, I know I'm up against it.
You're up against it all the time, my friend.
Yeah, well, hopefully... Hopefully a lot of us were up against it on Valentine's Day. I'll say that.
Luigi and I was – Luigi was on my date with Robin on Friday night down at the beautiful comedy club, the Punchline Philly.
And there's always friction.
But you know what really brought people back to baseball after the strike in 94? It was before steroids.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was the juice ball. Yeah, Cal Ripken, the streak, man. And the juice ball. I used to have these conversations on ESPN with Brian Kenny, who's now at the MLB Network. I remember Brian and I on ESPN would always talk about the live ball versus the dead ball era. And what brought baseball back, there's so many times that baseball's been shut. I mean, the strike, the 81 split season. You go back in history and look at all the baseball problems. But the live ball, dead ball era. Once Major League Baseball switched and had those baseballs made with the solid core centers and changed the manufacturer, and the ball started shooting out of the ballpark like rockets, there's no doubt there was a dead ball era before that where there wasn't a lot of offense, and then they brought in the juiced baseballs, and then the players became juiced, and that's when it really blew up again and became popular.
Right, and it wouldn't be the first time that they fiddled with the ball. They fiddled with the ball before Babe Ruth started to hit it on all the home runs. After that one guy, he got killed by getting hit in the head, and they had to clean the ball after, you know, they had to use a fresh ball after so many pitches. And they even started to wound the ball tighter back in the 20s. So, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, and I think people need to, you know, really look at this Astros thing, calm down. But at the same time, you know, there needs to be something seriously done. It's not to be poo-pooed because, quote-unquote, everybody does it, because you really don't know that.
You know what's going to end up happening?
What?
Nothing. And that's what's going to suck. Nothing. They're not going to do anything.
Yeah, but I don't want to play. I'm not one of these guys who plays moral cop.
No, I'm not trying to.
I don't want these guys' lives destroyed. I don't want these guys banned from baseball.
No, I'm not saying that.
I don't want anybody's life destroyed.
I'm not saying. I said mine was take away the strip the title, you know, basically put the asterisk on it. It never happened. And eliminate them from postseason play for the season.
And you know what?
I said for one season, not for all of it, just for one season.
But you know
season.
What happens if you just take away their championship? Nothing, because people saw the championship.
Yeah.
The fans still have the – they're not going to go home, the door to door and take people's memorabilia away from them for that year.
Not a bad idea.
But there are a lot of Astros fans. There's a guy, there was an article written in The Athletic where he put together a website. He was an Astros fan, and he didn't want to take The Athletic's word for it, but he went and put a website together and studied tape from 58 Astros games from home, and he proved it to himself that what the claim against the Astros was actually true. So you got a lot of Astros fans that no matter what baseball does, they're genuinely hurt. I've talked to a bunch of them.
Oh, I know. I don't blame. I feel sorry for the fans. They're good fans down there. It's a great ballpark. We were there, you know, when they had the media night was in Minute Maid Park. Beautiful ballpark.
Because remember, that moment of celebration that they all won, you know, their players, their own players took it away from them. Their own players took away their jubilation, took away their World Series, took away their championship. If that's what's going to end up happening.
And I'm not one for, you know, let's go and start throwing at the Astros players opening day. But at the same time, I think, you know, whatever happens internally among the players may have a greater impact than anything that this Manfred guy does, because, you know, it's kind of like a fraternity.
Yep.
And yeah. if the guys like Mike Trout really feel that way, Mike Trout's weight, you know, it holds a lot. What he says holds a lot more weight than some guy that just got called up from, you know, AAA Frisco.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. That's why I was surprised, because I saw it this morning. Mike Trout was surrounded by reporters at the Angels Field down there in Arizona, and he was asked an honest question, and he wasn't rambling. He was just. We'll have to find that. Can you find the Mike Trout response to the Astros cheating thing? Because we know
it's
Mike
short,
Trout
like
here. Yeah, it's not that long. But the bottom line is, this is a guy who doesn't speak out. You know, he doesn't call press conferences to say, I don't like this about baseball. I should be playing for a good team because I'm never going to win a championship here as long as I'm playing for the Angels.
Right.
He's a loyal guy. He got drafted by the Angels.
Take my $400 million. I'll just shut
my mouth.
He takes
his money. You know, for him to come out today in Tempe down there where the Angels play at Tempe Diablo Stadium. As you well know, if you've been to the desert, and comb the desert, by the way. And what happens when you comb the desert?
We ain't found shit.
Exactly right.
But it's about time somebody else from the AL West spoke up, because, I mean, you know, they'll play the Astros 20, 25 times a year, the Angels will.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last thing an Angels pitcher wants is for somebody looking over their shoulder from a camera in center field stealing their sign.
Exactly. Well, AJ, first of all, I want to thank you again for participating in the auction. I know you got outbid at the very end by our friend Mike.
No, I was watching it. Congratulations to Agent whatever his name was. He really, I'm just glad he really wanted it.
No, no, it was a great. That was a great.
We still haven't sent it off yet, by the way, because we haven't gotten.
Well, the post office is closed today. It's President's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not sent. Okay, I bid $1,500.
No, he won it fair and square, and he's very, very excited to receive.
And you actually stimulated the bidding, because when you have people keep bidding, and you kept bidding it up, and then Mike kept bidding it.
Dean shot out.
Dean started it off. Yeah, no, that was great. That's how you do a really professional auction.
Thanks again, AJ.
You're welcome. Have a good one, guys.
Later, AJ.
Beautiful.
Now, we do have Jim from Cheltenham on hold because he has footage or tape from Dan Dibley 13 years ago or something like that when you were talking to Dan Dibley at the Super Bowl regarding his sons.
Yes.
But before we do that, here is
Mike Trout at the Tempe Diablo Stadium in Tempe, right near the Buttes, Robin. You know where that is?
I do.
One of my favorite places. What?
Nothing. I'm just wondering how the hell Jim
agreed with the punishments. You know, the player's not getting anything. You know, it was a player-driven. Sucks because. Like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. It would be me going up to the plate knowing what's coming. It would be pretty fun up there. So, you know, it's just, like I said, it's, a lot of guys lost respect for some of the guys. And, you know, it seems like every day something new comes out. So,
how do you feel about those guys?
You know, I got close relationships with all them guys. And, you know, it's tough seeing stuff when it comes out, you know. A lot of guys reached out to me, and it's tough. Like I said, it's not good for baseball, and it's sad to see.
Guys from the Astros reached out to you?
Yeah, a couple guys. I'm not going to name any names.
No,
but,
what was it basically
just
the message?
Trying to,
were they apologizing? Were they trying to explain themselves?
Just trying to explain what happened. You know, you read a lot of stuff in the paper, and, you know, once you read something, a lot of people jump to that conclusion. But sometimes it's right, sometimes it's false. You know, it's like I said, it was a tough off season to see that as a baseball player, and you know, you just hope Major League Baseball cleans it up and play you know, good baseball from here on out.
What's your view of that World Series championship?
You know, it's tough because you don't know, you know, what helped them or whatnot, but if you know what's coming, it's gonna definitely help you. I think that's, you know, it's tough. You're taking the trophy away, taking the rings away. I think they should definitely do something. I don't know what, but to cheat like that and not get anything, it's sad to see, for sure.
There you have it. Again, not going crazy, but talking to the players, and people want to see a result. If it's taking away the rings, taking away that piece of metal, which is a pretty trophy, by the way.
I like what T.D. Clark says here. Let the pitchers and catchers wear microphones like they do in the XFL. No more signs. No more signs. Just have the catcher just go slider inside.
What's going to happen sooner or later?
We have Jim from Cheltenham on the line.
The great Jim, the official archivist of the Tony Bruno Show. Jim, a big baseball fan as well. He was excited watching pitchers and catchers, all the video of Bryce Harper hitting some bombs.
Cage
dingers. Cage bombs today down there in Clearwater, Florida. Many, many local women and children excited. Mostly women and some dudes who can't wait to watch baseball action.
How you doing, everybody?
Beautiful, Jim. By the way, I got to ask you about the big story over the weekend. Ruben Amaro Jr. coming back to be a part of the Phillies broadcast team on NBC Sports Philly.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. Oh, man. My opinion is he was the worst general manager in Phillies history.
I disagree. I don't think he was
the worst. Well, he took over a World Championship team, and when he left them in the rumble. It was...
Now, you remember when people...
I remember, because the Phillies were... last year he left here, the Phillies were rated as the worst run organization in baseball.
Yeah, but you remember the guy that everybody hated in this town who was before Ruben, and they ran him out of here, and he went to Houston, and I think did a pretty good job down there. Bob Wade.
Ed Wade. The best thing Ed Wade never did was he never traded away Utley, he never traded away Howard, he never traded away Hamels. He could have at any time... Remember, Barry Zito could have been a Philly. He could have done that at any time, but he never did. He stayed put with those guys, and he left them here for Ruben Amaro.
Well, I have a soft spot for Ruben because I watch him. You did too, Jim. Growing up as a bat boy.
Of course, the mistake the Phillies made, they went cheap, and they made him the general manager without – they should have gone after a major general manager or somebody could help this team. And but unfortunately, he should not have been the general manager. I don't think he had the talent to be a general manager.
I will agree with you there, but I will say this about Ruben Amaro, Jr. He never ducked questions. He was always cordial. He was always nice. Every time I had a chance to interview him, he was always gracious. He was always very, very forthcoming. He didn't hide anything. He didn't yell at reporters for asking him a tough question. I think he's a good guy, and I don't have a problem with him being on the Phillies broadcast crew. You know, he was base coach with the Red Sox, and then he went with the Mets last year, and he decided, you know what, as much as guys like to do that, that's really a thankless job when you're
Who is he replacing then?
I don't know. I didn't see that part.
Maybe is he on the broad or just doing the pre or
He's going to do the pre and post games, so he'll be in the studio. Right. So I don't think he's not going to be on the game broadcast. He's not going to be in the booth. I don't think they're running out of there or any of those other guys.
Okay. And we'll see what happens. But, Tony, you were talking last week about Dan Dibley.
Yes.
He was a producer of Gary Show.
Absolutely, and a great friend. We see him at the Super Bowl. I remember when his kids were born, and he always would tape he always take cuts of his kids. He was bringing his tape recorder home and tape his kids mimicking the sound effects that Gary and I had. Not sound effects, things that we said, like it's an outrage or great knowledge and phenomenal knowledge. And now his kids are grown up and in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, 13 years ago, I found something 13 years ago. It was Friday before Memorial Day weekend.
Absolutely.
And you and Gary were talking. All of a sudden, I think one of his sons were in the studio that day. So Dan taped something, and he played it while you were talking to Gary.
Let's go to the tape.
Caught you by surprise.
This is on KNBR 680, the sports leader. 13 years ago today. How old was I then? Let's see. It was...
It's still fine, right?
It's all right. It's
getting better.
It's getting
well, not that busy, man.
It's not that busy, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, my word. I knew what has been brought out. Just when the audience was saying, if I hear that boy do the same crap again, Dan Dibley has come.
Attaboy, Quest. What is it, man? It's a Memorial Day weekend. You know what that means.
It's not that busy, man.
Right when the audience is ready to turn, Dan rises to the occasion. When was this recorded, Dan?
Just a few moments ago. As you know, both the boys are in here currently enjoying Diet Soda.
That's
fresh off the presses.
In fact, Ray walked in kind of like looked like he's lost because his son has not stepped up his pace.
Look at me good.
The same old stuff from the Woodson family.
Exploitation sensation!
Exactly right, baby!
And to bring it to the audience, Tone, that's like when Bob Hope would walk out on Carson. You didn't know he was coming, right?
No, that was an absolutely perfectly placed because I even dropped it. It's not that busy, and then here comes Quest.
God, that was bad. Dan, congratulations. And I know now Lee worked with you on that bit, right?
Yeah, he basically forced me to bring the kid in.
Okay, but when did you take?
Don't we have laws in California against that?
Child labor laws, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not aware. Ray, you've been with child labor laws. Maybe something you don't want to talk about, but it was a mistake.
That's an outrage.
Oh, now he's doing other bits. Wait, he's doing brute. Tone, you hear that?
I love it, man.
Oh.
That kid won't have to waste time in college when he grows up, Gary.
Oh, hey, was all this recorded within the last few minutes?
Surreptitiously, Gary.
How many takes?
About 40.
Okay, I mean...
he fits in around here.
Do you yell at the young man and say, get it right or no dinner?
Pretty much.
Oh. Now, when he messes up a take, does he do what I do and start screaming profanities and yelling and like...
There you go,
Tony.
That was phenomenal stuff. And those, you know, I jokingly, Jim, last week on the show, I was talking about how I love the sound of young children's voices, whether they're singing in a choir or whether they're just saying stuff. You know, the internet's full of that stuff, just cute kids. And now being a granddad for the first time, I wait the chance to see my young little grandson, Dominic Vincent Bruno, when he starts yammering and yapping, saying all kinds of great drops and providing drops for my show.
So you have the microphone ready.
Absolutely. Microphone's always ready, man. Well, now that you have, you know, now you just use your cell phone. You can record anything. You don't even need to bring a tape recorder. You see all the media people at events, they're using their cell phones.
Yeah, right. But the Astros situation, this organization is going to be in major, a black mark will put on them for at least for the next 50, 60, 70 years, just like the White Sox. You know, the White Sox, They've only been in two World Series in the last 100 years since the Black Sox scandal.
Yep. No, I agree. And again, I think they'll, you know, we'll be able to move on from this. This isn't going to destroy the sport.
It's going to be a black mark on their organization forever. You know?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But the bottom line is, it's going to be a rough year for the Astros wherever they travel this year.
Man,
wherever they travel, and a lot of it will be, you know, mean spirited. But as long as nobody gets hurt and people, I don't think players are going to just go after each other now because of that. I think that's overhyped. I don't think you're going to see managers telling players to throw at Jose Altuve. I don't think that's going to happen because players respect one another. This is a sport. They're all professionals. And I would be shocked if we saw any kind of really over-the-line stupid stuff.
Well, the second series they play this year is in Oakland.
I know. And I know the A's fans,
you know,
and I know they don't like them.
Oakland A fans, you know how they are.
Exactly.
I think the A's home opener, I think, will be there.
Oh, yeah,
who knows what's going to happen there?
It's going to be tense, but I don't know about benches clearing and that kind of stuff.
I don't know that, but I mean the fans are going to be on them. You know that
exactly.
Like if they were in the Phillies division and they played like if it was the Mets was in the Astros, you see how much probably would have here in Philadelphia.
Oh yeah, absolutely, no doubt about it. Hey Jim, we're going to run because yes, we're going to have to end the show like just a little bit over overtime because we have to take Riddle to the Animal Hospital.
How's the cat doing, better or what?
No,
he's bleeding.
Not.
And
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, we're just really worried. You know, he's really, every time he's going to the bathroom a lot and there's a lot of blood spots. And, you know, it happens with male cats, and we have him on medication, but
so we are rushing him off to the hospital actually right now for a 3:30 appointment, so we have got to go.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Jim. The Jim from Cheltenham, and thanks to everybody today. And, you know, it's 3:06. We would go longer because we had a lot of stuff we still didn't get to, but we got to get Riddle. It's the only time that we'll see him at 3:30. The one place that we go to all the time wouldn't get us into Wednesday.
That's insanity.
I mean, come on. The great Riddle. We got to take him out and make sure he's okay. I don't mean take him out that way. I mean,
no,
we got to take him to the hospital. Love that guy. He's part of the family, man. And we'll check him out and get the latest and bring it to you tomorrow. Thank everybody for tuning in today. Don't forget, we'll be back here tomorrow from 1 to 3 plus, depending whatever we need. We always go overtime, unlike the NBA All-Star game, where they didn't have to go overtime last night in Chicago. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. And God bless America. It's the greatest place on earth. And happy President's Day, or happy not your President's Day, depending on who you are. Good night, everybody.
Joint, so it's very easy. Maybe in our world here, there lives a happy little mountain.
Thank you for listening to the Tony Bruno Show on Bruno Nation Live. Don't forget to subscribe on the Twitch mobile app so you don't miss any of Bruno Nation's hilarity and hijinks, because it is definitely must-watch radio. Of course, you can catch the archived audio on your favorite podcast app like Spreaker or iTunes. Plus, if you subscribe via Twitch, you can watch any of our archived videos. We hope to see you back here every Monday through Friday. See you soon.